afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Despite a 3-0 lead late in the third, the Blue Jackets were stunned by the Bruins 4-3 in a shootout Sunday night. Boston's Pavel Zacha scored with 11 seconds left of the game to send it to OT before Victor Arvidsson scored the game winner. Jackets second in the East wild card at 88 points. NFL, per reports, Browns opted not to sign Bills defensive end A.J. Epinesa, citing concerns from his physical. The sides first agreed to a one-year deal March 19th. MLB, Reds host the Pirates at 6:40, and the Guardians visit the Dodgers at 10:10. College hoops, per reports, Charleston has hired Akron head coach and former Ohio State assistant John Gross as its next head coach. Gross led the Zips to 3 straight NCAA tournament appearances. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, good to be back with you. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Here we are, Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon Boys. How we feeling?
What up, what up? I am feeling good, man. It's always a good day when I get to chop it up with you and our wonderful listeners. So shout out to you guys. However you're listening, whether you're in the chat, on the app, in the car, we appreciate and love you. So yeah, I'm good, man. How you feeling?
Outstanding. Better than Duke right now, that's for sure. And probably a little better than the CBJ. And definitely probably better than Tiger. And some other things. So we got a robust show for you today.
Yeah, we do.
And, you know, I started, the Duke thing was out of nowhere because those two games were kind of duds. The Sunday games were heading towards blowouts. Mm-hmm. They were duds. They were like a foregone conclusion. And, you know, you go back and you watch Duke this year and the only two games they lost, they had leads, but they only lost two all year. And how are you going to go undefeated at that level? But this has been their calling card, and it's a bad one to have. It is. No one's going to shame anybody for losing a tough game in an Elite Eight trip to go to the Final Four and all that. It's the way they lost. And we'll play a clip from John Shire, and I understand what he's doing, Matty. I understand why he's trying to take ownership. And the big rant for me is I know why they do it, but I don't like it when coaches point to, well, there were a million things that happened in that game that arrived at this. It wasn't this play. It wasn't one play that lost it. I hate that because that doesn't matter to me.
It's a way to ease the pain, yeah. I think, if you're a player or coach to identify a series of events prior to that walk-off from UConn that makes you feel a little better if you're a coach. I think that's what that is. It's a little medicine for you.
And it's to take the heat off his players.
Correct.
Which I understand is a coach's responsibility. And at the end of the day, it is his fault, even though you could make the case that these are very good players. But the ball wound up getting in the hands of an 18-year-old kid and needed to be schooled and coached and call a timeout before, get everything set. And I understand why you want to save the timeout, because if for some reason there's a tie-up and UConn's getting the possession area arrow, but if you feel like UConn is not going to foul, which, by the way, they would have, maybe they would have started with trapping, and maybe maybe they would have seen if they could tie you up and steal the possession.
They were trying to foul before it got to Caden Boozer. You go back and watch. I can't remember who the Duke player was on the baseline, but he gets the ball back from Cam Boozer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a UConn player sprinting over to the guy on the baseline for Duke and trying to foul him.
Now, remember, the 10 seconds is fine. And that's not like 3 seconds. So I understand, even though you don't have to get the ball over the timeline, and you can just wait to get fouled, the idea, if you can, is to burn a little time in case you miss both free throws. If you miss both free throws, you don't want UConn to have 7 seconds to come down.
Right.
And, or if you miss one, then they got a chance to tie it. And so I kind of understood. I was trying to go through my mind because my initial thing was, this is the most idiotic thing I have ever seen.
On whose part?
On Duke's part.
Kaden Boozer?
On Duke in general, mostly the coach. Like, his job is to get his team to the finish line. All right, I'm forgetting about they were up 19.
Okay, that's
bad, right?
Yeah,
but,
that's tough.
But UConn is coached very well. They come back. And by the way, this puts to rest that narrative, the other narrative that I hate, which is, because we do this in football with individual players, but we never seem to do it in basketball.
Oh, what do we do?
We do the, why give that player credit when he's the one that dug the hole? Like, really? Like, so we shouldn't give UConn credit for coming back because they're the ones that dug their own hole?
We have to give them credit.
Of course, they came back. Yeah. They made it a game. Because to me, it was, is UConn going to lose by 12 or 15? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if they make a three, okay, big deal. So I started thinking to myself, okay, scenario. Young team, young players. You've blown the 19-point lead. You're up three, and you rescued it a little bit. Like, you're in position to win that game. Everyone would agree that 99 out of 100 times Duke's winning that game. And let's not forget, and I've already buried the lead, he still had to make the damn shot.
It's nothing but net.
Like, Mullen's insane. Mullen's sane.
Just cash.
Print the t-shirt. I'll print that shirt. Mullen's sane. Because I couldn't believe from the logo. And he had the greatest soundbite. It was, I was trying to get the ball to someone who had actually made one. And then Caravan gave it back to me. And then I had to shoot it from the logo. Yeah, and it was nothing but net.
Uh-huh.
And so at that point, I have buried the lead. And I'm not even sure. You know what? I lied. Okay. I think the lead is Duke blowing the game. It isn't Mullins hitting the shot. I think it's close.
I think it's the buzzer beater.
The 19-point lead. It's having the ball.
What's
going to
be remembered?
He'll remember hitting the shot, but
I think we'll all remember the shot.
That's fine,
right?
But today, I came in here today thinking, because I just did that naturally. I put the shot behind the choke. I just did, in my own mind.
Okay, for me, it's the shot. That's what
so you came in today thinking this wasn't Duke blowing the game. It was this guy hitting the great shot.
What I will remember is the shot over the collapse. I guess I'm kind of numb AR to basketball leads fading away that are 20 points or less. Like, it's not as shocking to me anymore to see that. I know that's kind of a pet peeve of yours, is like protecting these leads in basketball.
Get them to the finish line.
How many teams can't close the deal? But that's one of those memories inside of March Madness that I will remember for sure. Right. I got a text from my mom yesterday. Her and my dad were watching the game, and she told me, we let out a scream when that bucket goes in for Mullins. It was one of those, I think, that will stick with a lot of people because that's the magic of the tournament and what we love. And now Duke's in this interesting spot, especially Shire, right? Because you take over this program, Coach K, one of the best to ever do it, if not the best to ever do it. And because of what happened to them last year against Houston, believe in the Final Four, and
alone
that collapse
leads.
and that. And then now this, to your point, almost a 20-point lead you lose with another opportunity to go to the Final Four. Now it's what I always say. When you're a coach or a player, you're in the spot of regular season's not going to matter much. Just getting to the dance is not going to matter much. He was brought in to get them back to relevancy as far as winning national championships. And now what's going to be attached to his name and his program's name is Duke can't find a way to close out the deal when they're almost there.
So I agree with everything you said. And then you add another yet at times 100 because you're Duke.
No doubt.
Like, if you're a coach at a mid-major and you got to the second round in your first season, and you got to an Elite Eight in your second season, and you got to the Final Four in your third season, and you were a contender to win the national title, and this happens, like, no one's probably killing you.
Yeah.
But this is not...
Correct.
This is Duke.
And it's not like, right, Duke, the fan base is going to be like, hey, you know what? We'll get him back in fall when football rolls around.
That's a great run.
This is what we do. Like, we're back to your point. Like, we're Duke. We're Hoopers. Like, this is what our brand is recognized for.
They lost two games this year before this.
Yeah. I know, man.
And I'm telling you, when I look at their season, I mean, all the quad 1A wins, five were during the non-conference. They won at Michigan State. They beat Florida at home. They won neutral sites against Kansas and Arkansas. And in late February, Michigan. Like, this was a team. Like, throw in the sweep of Louisville and then the absolute dismantling of Virginia. And, I mean, we all knew Duke was capable of beating anyone. Now, they struggled early on, and maybe that's because their mindset was, we're the overall number one, we'll kind of work our way into the tournament. Mm-hmm. But they were starting to get a narrative this year of that they would just be the survive and advance team, that somehow they were going to get it done. They got it done against St. John's, and they were going to get it done even though they blew that lead. And so this is who they are. Their two losses this year, somehow they blew a They were led by 9 points with 7 minutes to go in both of their regular season losses. What was that? Texas Tech and they lost to another good team. Who was it this year? There was two of them.
The Monstars.
That's a, that I would actually give them a pass if they blew a lead against Monstars. It was Tech and a good team, a tournament team. It wasn't a nothing.
I've got North Carolina as an L.
Yeah, that was okay. Yeah, so it was Carolina. So it was a rival game.
Okay.
All right. So we get to John Shire, and TLC has this. This is Shire in the post-game press conference discussing the absolute debacle of losing a 19-point lead with a trip to the Final Four on the line.
We just have to secure it, right? I mean, we got it. They had a foul. I was ready for a timeout, and we just got to hold on. And it's easy to look at that play. You know, I look at every play that happened, especially in that second half. This is not about one play. It's about every play to put us in that position. And that's what you don't want to do. Where one play, something can happen. And so for me, look, it's going to be tough, but it's not going to be on one play.
I like him. He's 100% wrong, and I know he has to say it. It is about one play.
Can't go
it's
home with that timeout.
Absolutely about one play.
Can't go home with that timeout.
And I'm, by the way, I'm willing to actually give him the timeout if he feels his guys have been instructed really well, because you want to hold on to that timeout in case you do get fouled. You do miss one free throw. And maybe you want to set your defense there. Like, I understand that part of it.
But I just think, you know, when there's that type of chaos going on, I think the coach needs to step in and say, let's reset here.
There really wasn't
chaos. Let's take a breather here, because it just wasn't clean to me, that operation. And once that ball gets to Caden Boozer and that trap's coming, like, I'm calling timeout immediately if I'm Shire, and resetting and relaying all the messages from me as a coach to my players and what I think is ideal in that situation. You just can't go home with that TO.
I'm probably taking it even before the inbound. If I'm going to burn it, I'm going to burn it after DeMary makes his second. I'm just going to burn it there. But the problem is, you can't burn it there, because if you can't get the ball in, you got no timeout then.
Right.
And then you lose possession. So in my mind, I'm actually going to give him a pass for maybe keeping it in his pocket, because it was at the free throw line. It wasn't after a made basket. It wasn't all that. Like, they had time to tell everybody and yelled everybody after DeMary missed the first one. All right. We don't need to get this ball over the timeline. There's 10 seconds left. And he did say, we're going to be strong in the ball. And after they made that first pass, they were probably good in just holding on to it. But my goodness, it is about one play. And I was talking to my brother, and I said, if Boozer, and there's no way to do this, if Boozer just throws a hand grenade, just lobs it straight up in the air, they're probably winning the game. There were two Duke guys in the front court with nobody else.
Yeah.
If that ball tips a little differently, deflects a little differently, but the result is, he didn't need to pass the ball, and here we are.
And again,
and now they're thinking about it.
Credit to UConn, right? Mullen splashes that bucket in, away they
incredible.
Go
incredible.
This brand right now, that being the Huskies, is absolutely on one recently with winning natties recently over the last couple of years. Now they're going back to the Final Four, so congrats to Hurley and that crew, because that is a train that is rocking and rolling in March Madness here recently.
UConn, I'll finish with this. UConn went 5-for-23 from three. And the one we will remember is the one that stole the game.
History.
And that's all that matters.
No question.
And that's why we love March. It's undefeated. We come back. Jackets and the pressure. Now starting to really feel it with 8 to go. We'll do it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination. One more play-by-play.
Yay!
It's on the Fan, too. March Madness, Reds baseball, Ohio State athletics, and much more. Find the Fan, too, on the Fan's HD2 channel. And 1460 on the AM dial.
And
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see mostly cloudy skies here for today, with highs into the lower 70s here this afternoon.
And then for tomorrow, we'll see more partly cloudy skies, some more sunshine, and even warmer temperatures with highs in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. It will be very windy as winds gust out of the southwest at 40 miles per hour. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, so rough weekend.
Before you get going on that, because we got some goodies we're giving away today.
Alrighty.
We're doing a little lineup change today since we're back to 3 hours. Let's start there. So the floor is yours. Usually is going to be where usually was on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock. That will now go back to Mondays at 1 o'clock. So 614-821-9710 is our phone number. If you don't know what the floor is yours is, we open the phone lines up to you guys because we love hearing from you. So anything you want to get off your chest, sports related, life related, whatever it may be, call TLC 614-821-9710. Again, that will be at 1 o'clock now on Mondays. We are also giving away some goodies this week as well, TLC. What do we have for the wonderful listeners?
Oh, we got Aviators tickets that we're giving away. So that will be winner gets tickets to the Aviators inaugural game Friday night at Historic Crew Stadium. Free t-shirts for the first 5,000 fans. Gavin DeGrasse performing at halftime. He's pretty good. Kickoff will be at 8. Additional tickets can be purchased at uflaviators.com. So we are giving away tickets today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.
There you go. Nice. Because I'm glad you said tickets, because every time you say that, I think we're giving away a pair of sunglasses.
I thought we were giving away cruises.
That, well, yes.
Well, I guess it's Aviators.
Sunglasses away to wear on the cruise.
Yes.
Yeah. When he says we're giving away a pair of Aviators, I always think, okay.
We're giving away flights,
old school,
actually.
Ray-Bans yeah. It
I got a question
a naval
for you.
Aviator.
I got yeah. a question, Rothman. So
we're on a first-name basis. And, we know each other.
Anthony, nice yeah, to talk to you. This one comes from my questions for Anthony folder.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so about John Shire in the last segment and how he said that the game doesn't come down to just the final play and how you disagreed with that. How can he not feel that way, though, when he had a 19-point lead? Like, isn't your big take, if you're the coach and you lose that on the final play of the game, and yeah, Caden Boozer, just throw it over the guys instead of getting it tipped, and then all of a sudden you have the ricochet that leads to the three-pointer for UConn. But if you're in that position and you blow a 19-point lead, how is your perspective not, we shouldn't have been in that position in the first place?
It's always about that situation, regardless of what it is. And I understand momentum in sports. I get that it can go the other way. And I want to, and that's why I said I give Mullins credit for hitting a shot from the logo. If that shot doesn't go in, we're not even, yeah, we're talking about them blowing a 19-point lead, but they survive in advance, and that's what they get. And you would have went on Twitter. And it would have said, survive in advance. That's all it would have said. It wouldn't have said, boy, Shire is overrated, or Duke should have lost. Well, maybe it would have said they should have lost, but honestly, that's what this sport has. You know, I got an email about this Duke choke, and I tried to write Eric back, but maybe put in a phony email. I don't know. It says that if that's the way I feel about Shire, then if every kicker that misses a last-second field goal in a football game is the one that lost the game, he says that I've said that it's not on the kicker if he misses, and the team should not have been in that situation. I think you got a different host. I'm being really honest. I do not say that. If it's a 27-yarder, I am. But I'm also putting on things that lead up to that. Like, if you got a running back that's going to run out of bounds three times on the way to an eventual game-sealing kick, and then with the kicker misses it, I'm going to point out,
has anybody done that before?
Yes, that running back probably could have helped us kill the clock a little bit.
Who are you speaking
I'm not
of
speaking
here?
Of any. I'm just saying.
What team did
I'm
that?
I'm just saying. And so this is not a science. You don't have to pin somebody down to, oh, you said that, and remember when you said this. Like, let's all think about that game yesterday. I don't care. He blew a 19-point lead. It was awful. UConn had a lot to do with coming back. Okay, he's got to coach better and get that team to the finish line. It didn't happen. But he got him within 10 seconds with a 2-point lead. So now at that point, he's got to instruct his team the best he can. I think he felt like he did that. But then an 18-year-old kid had a lob that came up a fingernail short. But it's still, I'm putting more on the coach than the player. I am. In that point, that's all. I think there was a little nuance to it, as we've talked about already, that this team wanted to keep their timeout in case they got tied up, in case they couldn't get the ball in. I think he felt like he had instructed his team. Now, be strong. Unless you were in the huddle, I don't know exactly the detail he said. Do I think that John Shire said to them, hey, we do not have to take this ball over the timeline? I don't think he said that. And if he did, then maybe he's just protecting his guys. I would love to know if he said that. And if I was in that press conference, that's what I'm asking him. Did you instruct your team that with 10 seconds, there was no need to get the ball over the timeline, that wasn't an objective of this possession?
I think a lot of parties can absolve some of the blame here. I do. I think it can be Shire. I think it can be both Boozer brothers, especially Caden, for trying to make that pass. They're coming to foul you. UConn was clearly trying to foul in that situation. That was the direction from Hurley coming out of that huddle, or going into that situation, was we're fouling here. And you had a young guy in Caden Boozer, who his number has had to been called here recently, who had a solid game. But in that moment, I think that's a freshman losing his mind a little bit and panicking a little bit. So I think it can be Shire. I think it can be Caden Boozer. I think it can be the collapse along the way as well. But you have to credit, I think, UConn too, for swinging the way that they did throughout that game. And then Mullins obviously making a magical shot to end it and send Duke home.
Yeah.
I'm not even mad at him for trying that, because if you just clear the UConn guys, it doesn't even have to make it all the way to the Duke guys that were just sitting underneath the basket. Like, just
TLC, he could throw the ball straight up in the air.
And I think more teams should
probably win the game.
Exactly.
With 5 seconds. Because even if that ball comes down from the sky and lands exactly in Mullins' hands, it's probably at half court with about 3 seconds. I don't know. I doubt he makes it then. He did what he saw as an athlete does in the instinctual moment. I get two guys that are free, and I could probably skip this over their heads. And at that point, this whole strong on the ball thing went away. It looked like a team. Duke looked like the team that needed to score.
I'll give you a football equivalent. This would be like if you were given the choice to kick a field goal to go up 4, but the other team would have gotten the ball. And this may not be a tremendous example, but if you had the chance to kick a field goal, actually, you know what? You have the chance to kick a field goal to go up 7, but the other team is going to get the ball back, or it's 4th and 1 and they're not going to have any timeouts left if you get that 1 yard. And they tried to go for it. He tried to make the pass, just make a better pass, in my opinion. But it still comes down to, if I'm John Shire, the number one issue that I'm taking with me from that game is, how in the world did we blow a 19-point lead to a team that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn?
Well, and that's fine too, and that's what he could lean into. And I'm not even on the bad pass part of it, because I thought UConn actually played really good defense there by two guys climbing the ladder to deflect that ball. To me, that ball just can't be passed again. Like, the first one I'm okay with. Comes in, it goes back to the inbound. Okay, that's it. We've burned 2 seconds. Now we wait, we get fouled, we try to hit 2 free throws and ice the game. Like, at that point, I'm not trying to do much more. I did understand them trying to burn some seconds, because 10's a lot of time. If you're only up 3, then, by the way, then we're looking at Duke's probably fouling UConn. Like, if UConn gets the ball back after free throws and they're down 3, I'm probably fouling them. So we're all doing this in hindsight. We all got to watch. We're not coaching in live action, but he's the one that's paid a lot to do it. Mm-hmm. And they had the game. And no matter whether they had a 19-point lead or a 2-point lead, that game was theirs. It was theirs to be had. And they blew it. And they choked it away. And he had the ball in the hands of an 18-year-old guy who doesn't have that experience.
That's the key for me right there. Yeah. Is Caden Boozer,
why isn't he in the game?
Doesn't have enough time on task, right? Like, I don't know if Braden Smith panics in that moment the way a Caden Boozer does. Like, Braden Smith has seen so much and played so much high level basketball and been in charge of those type of critical possessions late in game, to where I don't think that would be the case with him. So that's where I think the collapse really happened late, was a guy not being able to slow down the moment. And that's obviously easier said than done, but you just have to be out there on the floor and be in command of those moments to realize, hey, we do have a timeout, or these guys are coming to foul me. Let me just let them come do that, and I can go handle my business on the other end.
I don't blame his decision. Just throw a better pass. Just execute better.
The decision was unnecessary.
Yeah, though. I don't love the decision, and I'm going to give UConn credit for like leaping in the air with two guys and making sure that pass didn't go over. But I'm with you on, and no one would do this if he just throws the ball up in the air. They probably win the game.
You don't even need guys at the end. Just throw a punt to a place where the opponent's not going to get to it in 2 seconds.
That's a Kareem Skyhook is what he needed to do.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one of those, yeah. But
light the wick.
He's also in those moments when we can talk about this now. Right. He's living it in live action.
Man, as an 18-year-old, that's a lot.
He didn't spend this much time thinking about it as the play was happening. Yeah, right.
But I really would like to get the answer to the question. Did Shire tell his guys the priority is not to get this ball over the timeline? They have to come to us.
And they were.
We're not going to them.
And they were. Yeah. They were.
All right, coming back in 2 minutes with our guy, former CBJ head coach Brad Larson. Only 1 point over the weekend. It's put the Jackets in the pressure cooker. They've lived there, and so now they got to find a way to fight their way to the finish line. We'll analyze it next with him, Rothman.
The hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got 2 words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, 8 to go. 8 to go. You're holding on to the second wild card. You got Ottawa, Detroit, and Philly 2 points back, but also a game in hand on the Jackets. This is going to get good if it already hasn't been very good, but not a great weekend. You had 1 point, you blow two games in the final minute, and they're both different, but man, these are the ones that you think about. Now, they don't have time to think about it, which is probably a good thing. And our awesome friend, former head coach Brad Larson, kind of warned us about this as far as you made an amazing run to get to this point, and now you got to get it to the finish line. No one's going to help. No one's handing this to you. And Lars, it's great to have you on the program, my friend. And just know, and we'll start this, that entire community is thinking about you through this difficult time. You and I have talked, but I wanted to, I'm going to make hockey secondary because you know how much I feel about you and your family. And I just wanted to say that out of the gate, that so many people are thinking of you and the family.
Well, first, thanks so much. The hockey community is an incredible thing to be a part of, and I've been fortunate to be part of it for, gosh, 20 plus years. And, you know, the whole Columbus community, I mean, just across the board, I've been amazing with my family. So thanks so much. I much appreciate that.
I know that you've seen these games in person. You've been to the games. This is the pressure that certainly a lot of teams have to go through late in the season here, but this is a narrative that they fought really hard to extinguish. And now in a way it's kind of rearing its ugly head, a late third period collapse. Do you look at these games similarly, or are there reasons that this is happening, or is this just hockey in your mind?
It's just hockey. And those two games, I went to both those games, and they're two different games for me. I agreed with that San Jose game. I don't think they had the legs because they're a big, strong, fast team. They forecheck hard. They've been playing great hockey for a long stretch here. And inevitably, you're going to hit a bump in the road. You just are. And so when you watch the two games, they're completely different, in my opinion. You watched the game last night. The first period was outstanding. I mean, they were physical. They were on top of the puck. They checked hard, the forecheck, and obviously they finished and scored the goals. And here's the thing. I don't think they let off the gas in the second. I mean, Boston is a really good hockey team. They are. They're deep. They're coming. And I thought they got through that second. And then in the third, the penalties, right? And one I thought was a little bit chintzy. That's in my opinion, the first one. But the second two, they're penalties. They just are what they are. And unfortunately, this is the wrong time. And, you know, accidental or not, they're still penalties, right? So they weren't able to get through it. And so it's a gut punch, no question. But you know what? If anybody would have asked this group if they could have been in this scenario 2 months ago, everybody would have jumped right on board. And you look at the fan support they got. I mean, everybody's just so excited. They want them to get in, right? But they're there. They're knocking on the door. They're still holding down a spot. And like you just alluded to, they get to play these teams. So you're going to have to win your way in. And you listen to Rick talk Bones after the game. It's hard. This time of year is hard because the margin is so small. no lead is safe. I mean, it's all those things, those cliches you talk about, but it's reality. And that's why they're cliches, because there's so much truth to it. The attention to detail, you can't let your foot off the gas, you know, penalties, you got to make sure that you're staying out of the box. So it's exciting. It's fun. I think the group's invested. They've got a few injuries. Some other guys get to step up, but you know, that's not unique to their team. The schedule is what it is, and everybody's playing through it, and other teams are banged up as well.
Brad, you mentioned Bones and some of the comments he made after the game, and one thing I couldn't wait to get your reaction to was when he mentioned that he thought that they got selfish with the puck. And when you hear a coach mention that and being around the guys and leading the charge the way that you have, when you hear another coach saying that, where does your mind go to? What do we need to be looking for moving forward to make sure that that's not the case on the ice? So just your reaction to him saying that he thought that they got selfish with the puck.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'm certainly not going to speak for him. I heard the comment too, and he'll have his own view of that. You know, and so you got to be really careful when you try to analyze what that means to him. Selfish with the puck would be, you know, maybe trying to do a little too much at times when the play's not there. It could be holding on to too much. It could be, you know, there's lots of different scenarios that would go with that. And so I'm going to kind of stay a little bit at arm's length, because, you know, one thing you have to remember after the game, there's emotion tied to it. And that's the second big loss they've had, right? Like, everybody understands they only got 1 point out of that, and they had the lead in both of those games, and you want to close those out. So this is a great time. They got a day off today, I believe, and they get to kind of take a deep breath and then play another meaningful game tomorrow. So I just think where Bones, his experience, when you listen to him, a lot of these guys that have been around for a long time, they get it. They understand how hard it is. And you can talk about it with your team. You can preach it. You can walk them through it through video. But until they're in it, until they're skating in it and they feel that pressure, you don't know how they're going to react, right? Like, it pressure does funny things to people. And I don't think they failed. I don't think it was an effort thing. I don't think it's just both games were different for me. And so it's fun and exciting, and now he gets to really watch his group, and he's going to help guide them through it. I think they've got the right man manning it right now. I think he's going to push him. He's not going to let him off the hook he, in the sense of how hard it's going to be, and he has some veteran guys that have been through it too, and he's leaning on them too. So it's going to be a fun ride here. I'm behind him. I think they're going to get in. I really do.
Lars, you and I talked, and listen, the number one thing is health. They've now been hit here in a very weird time. Severson was playing really well with Zach. He's had a good year. There's a lot of pressure on him to have a good year. He has. Olivier gets into a fight and leaves the game. I'm not sure what his prognosis is, but give me your thoughts about if there was something they really couldn't afford to really lose, it may be something on that defense.
Well, sure. I think just the way Severson was playing with Zach, right? Like, chemistry is a really important thing, especially in your top pairing. That's a huge luxury to have. Severson is probably playing some of his best hockey down this last 14, 15 games, and he was producing. He was, you know, he's a plus player playing against hard matchups. So that's a hard one, because you like what you're seeing for them. But again, you don't get to pick and choose who gets hurt. You know, Olivier, he comes right out after the Gabranson fight, my mother was at the game. I looked over and said, "What? Olivier's going to be fighting?" And she loved it. She was standing up too with everybody else, right? So, you know, he did his role. He did it well. And unfortunately, in those scenarios, sometimes it happens. So, listen, health is a luxury at this point of the year. When you've played this amount of games, and they were fortunate to get fully healthy, but you know, no one feels sorry for you. And I know Bones isn't going to feel sorry for their, it's next man up, and there's guys that are dying to get in the lineup. Well, here's your opportunity. They got a lot of healthy bodies, and they're going to be okay. I just think now it's, again, that attention to detail, how hard it's going to be. That's imperative right now when you head into these games.
Lars, how concerned are you right now about the offensive output? Is there something that's jumping out to you as to really maybe what's providing maybe some sluggish offensive stuff, just as far as what's on the scoreboard? Because prior to this kind of rut here that they found themselves in, the offense was flowing. So just talk about that from your perspective and what you're seeing offensively right now that's kind of have them in maybe a little sluggish spot.
Well, I don't think it's anything that you can pinpoint, because if you could just single-handedly, you would do it and it would be fixed. I think the one thing about goal scoring comes with confidence, right? When you're rolling, you said they're flowing. And sometimes there's just a rhythm to how you're scoring, and you get the lucky bounces, you get the nice tips, you get the fortunate rebounds, your power play's clicking. Generally, on any kind of losing streak, your scoring dries up. It's not because you're not scoring enough. You know, it's like you can't score. You know, you can't score in those things. So that's why when he came in, you know, it was so important to take a hold of the defensive side, right? The analytics tell us that they're doing a better job on the chances against, the high danger chances, all those things, because eventually the scoring does dry up. And guys, we're the last 10 games of the season here. Everybody's tightening up. The attention to detail, the focus, all of these things, it's harder to score goals. So it's not surprising that they don't have a Connor McDavid in their lineup or a Draisaitl or these type of players. They have a really good hockey team that I think that's very well balanced, and it's got to come from everybody. So it's just harder to score goals. It's going to be harder to get power plays, all those things. So there's no surprise there. I think what they got to do is continue to stick to their identity. I think it's defend well, protect the middle of the ice, make sure you're not giving up the easy offense for the other team, and then score how you score. And that's getting to the paint. That's playing a big body game, and they have a lot of those guys. And then feed off the excitement of where they're at. I think that's just it's such a luxury to have. Again, if we talked 2 months ago and said, hey, this is where they'll be at, they'll be in a spot with 8 games to go, I think everybody would have been doing backflips.
No doubt about that. All right, Lars, I got about 60 seconds. I saw this yesterday, yep. And all right, the hockey is weird, man. Vegas fires Cassidy with, I don't know how many games they have left, not many, but they're a current playoff team that fired their coach and replaced him with your guy in mind. John Tortorella is going to Las Vegas. What in the world happened there with Cassidy and your, I know you're not there, but how odd was that for a team to fire a coach with less than 10 games left who has won them a cup a few years ago and was currently holding a playoff spot?
Yeah, this is out of the norm, right? The last time I can think of that is, I think Jersey did it back in 2000. And I think that's a Lou Lamoriello move, right? So, you know, Kelly McCrimmon, and there's a high standard there with the Foleys who own it. They want to win. And, you know, something smelled there. I don't know. I don't have an insight to that. They weren't playing as good as they needed to be, especially with that lineup they have with the Stones and the Marners and the Hurdles. And they're loaded. I mean, they got a good team. Their goaltending suffered a bit, but they need a shakeup. And I think they got the right guy. I think, you know, he's going to go in there and he's going to push him. And when a guy like that walks in the room, he comes with instant credibility. And, you know, I read some of these narratives and I think people just have it completely wrong. I think he is a great choice for this group to help push them and because he will help them. I believe he can help them get over that hump there right now.
Brother, you're the best. We appreciate you, man. And we're thinking about you and we'll have you back soon. Hopefully we'll get in and then we'll have you sitting side by side with us talking about it. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
That's our guy, CBJ, former CBJ head coach Brad Larson, an assistant for years, played almost 300 games in the league, and obviously was a right-hand man of Torts, who's back in Vegas. Unbelievable. With basically an 8-game contract.
Unreal.
Like, man. Incredible. I'm so fired up. Cool. We come back with Party Like a Rothstar next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Men, we all...
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
.com.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by KDHVAC, doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan. Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Rothstar.
All right. Matty, I alluded to it, so I'll just say it. It's the hot Torts takeover. Things happen fast, and 23 seasons, this will be his sixth team. Ninth most wins in NHL history. 2-time Jack Adams Coach of the Year. Vegas had not been getting good goaltending, as Lars alluded to with Aiden Hill. And he's going to go in there, and he's going to have to... I don't know how you do this this fast, as far as like keeping them the blinders on now. Because Vegas... Now, in the West, you got a little more cushion. You do. And so, as long as they don't fall on their face, but they had been losing games. They had lost a lot of games. They got a point in their last couple of games, but they had losing a lot of games. So they were leaking oil fast. And so here's the irony. When the Jackets changed from Evason to Bones, the Jackets had, it was the perfect scenario. They had Calgary and Vancouver at home out of the gate. Guess who Vegas has right now? Next two games. Vancouver and Calgary out of the gate at home. Like you now, Calgary's been playing a lot better. They're not a pushover right now. And all these teams that are freewheeling, and I warned you about San Jose, like these teams that they're playing free. But I think that the Torts news this weekend, of all teams, that Vegas comes calling and that he's going to jump in. And I hope that he's got nothing to lose. He's taking a leap of faith. It's basically an 8-game contract. If they get in the playoffs, obviously he'll be coaching them. And then maybe he can earn the full thing. Now, if I'm him, I'm like, I probably didn't need a promise. Maybe got a wink that if things didn't go completely the other way, that you're going to be our guy. But this is awesome, man. It's awesome that he wants to, because he doesn't have to. But he wants to be behind that bench. You need him behind that bench. We need him. Like, that's awesome that he's back in the league. So I'll give it to Torts. Partying like a rock star this weekend.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
No doubt.
It's good stuff. First candidate for me, I'm starting in the NBA. Because it's getting real spooky right now for all the teams in the Eastern Conference not named the Boston Celtics. Because Jason Tatum is back. The Celtics are rolling. And they might win themselves another chip this year. Jason Tatum, this shouldn't be happening. We watched the man blow out his Achilles last year, and that's always a dicey thing coming back from that significant of an injury. But yesterday, against the Charlotte Hornets, who are a good young team on the rise in the Eastern Conference as well, Jason Tatum, 32 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and a block in the game, 5 of 10 from the three-point line, 52% from the field overall. This dude is an absolute dog. As we all know, the game before that, 26 points, 12 rebounds, excuse me, and 5 assists. So this guy looks to be back at the peak of his powers at the right time. This Boston Celtics team is now going back to the postseason for a 12th year in a row. They won 50 games again this year, 5 years in a row of 50 dubs for the Boston Celtics. I think they're the favorite to come out of the East. I think they can beat the Thunder or the Nuggets or the Spurs, whoever comes out of the West. And so right now, Jason Tatum, the former Duke Blue Devil himself, partying like a rock star, and the Celtics are on their way. Crazy.
All right, I'll come back to college, and a kid who's going to turn 20 next month, Braylon Anthony Mullins, Indiana native, who played high school basketball at Greenfield Central. I spent a month there one night in Greenfield. 2025 McDonald's All-American, Mr. Basketball in the state of Indiana. He was just a prestigious high school player. And there are a lot of dudes that have won that with Eric Gordon and Greg Oden and Cody Zeller and Sean May and down the list. But the fact that he was 0-for in that game and was looking to get it to a guy that had actually made one and found, this is the beautiful thing about sports. Nothing of this was scripted. He found the ball in his hands with 2 seconds to go or whatever. And now he's got a launch from the logo. And I can't imagine, like if I was talking to him after the game, I would have said, when did you know it was in? Like, I would love to know that. I don't know if anyone asked him, like, when it left your hands, did you know it was in? Most shooters do. And even in that moment, he probably, like, until it ripped twine, he probably wasn't sure. But here's that final play with Braylon Mullins hitting the shot heard around the world.
Got to cut and run through the ball. And who better than this guy?
Get it into Boozer. Back for Shar. Ahead. Boozer. That ball deflected and stolen by Mullins. Caravan, 2 seconds. Mullins tosses it up. Oh! It's good. We're pulling three. UConn goes in front.
Sick.
It's good stuff.
Insanity.
Yeah, it really is incredible. Shout out to Iron Eagle. Great call. As always, he's usually on it. Love the excitement from him there.
He had a freshman that made the mistake with the pass, and the other freshman hits the three, and a kid from suburban, I guess, I don't even know how far it is away, but he's going to Indy for the Final Four, a kid from Little Greenfield who hits the shot.
Special.
And he's going back, so he's partying like a roster.
Last one real quick for me. We're going down to the Natty because us Reds fans, we watched something evolve right before our eyes over the weekend, and that is Sal Stewart saying, I'm here. Reds fans, I got you. Sal Stewart cooking over the weekend. Three games against Boston. Seven hits in the series. One home run. Could be the power we need. Look, it's only been three games. It's only been one weekend around Major League Baseball. But Sal Stewart leading the league in batting average. Batting 700 right now. And by the way, honorable mention, partying like a rock star, both the Red Sox and the Reds for cooking. C.B. Buckner, the home plate umpire. Six calls overturned. In that game, you talk about a tough look for an umpire. That was
we need
it.
To talk about that.
My
and they
goodness.
Were missing by like an inch or two. But every time he turned around, and took his mask off, it was like, "What batter wants to challenge the call?" And I'm like, "This is rough."
By the way, the ABS system is awesome. Yeah. I was watching it all weekend. It's really cool. I'm here for it. But Sal Stewart, the young fella for the Reds, partying like a rock star, had a great day hitting against the Sox.
Honorable mention to the Japanese Babe Ruth. What's his
Murakami?
Yeah, Murakami, and I for some reason, I can't come up with his...
Munetaka.
Munetaka Murakami has started his MLB season with the White Sox. Homer.
That works.
Three straight games.
That'll work.
All right, we come back with the floor is yours. 821-9710 is our number. Rant away next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone. Better.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State men's hoops will return a crucial piece in 2026 as rising sophomore forward Amari Bynum announced he's coming back next season. Bynum averaged 9.7 points and 4.9 rebounds last season. He started the last 24 games, averaging 10-5 in that span. His return comes a day after forward Devin Royal announced his entry to the transfer portal. Women's college hoops, Elite Eight tonight. Michigan and Texas start things off at 7. TCU and South Carolina to follow at 9. MLB, Chase Burns makes his sophomore season debut as the Reds host the Pirates at 6:40. Guardians visit the two-time defending champion Dodgers at 10:10. NFL, per reports, the Browns opted not to sign Bills defensive end A.J. Epinesa, citing concerns from his physical. This update sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenient store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Second hour of the program. We'll get to the Buckeye basketball roster this hour and the allocating of funds.
Because
that's what college sports is about now.
Absolutely.
Salary capping the roster. Adam King, 10 TV at 1:30. Is he confirmed? Or is that a loose confirmation? He is.
Yes.
In person or on the horn?
In studio was confirmed.
All right.
I got my weekly yep when I said, hey, 1:30 in studio.
Did it have an exclamation point next to the yep?
Ooh.
Exclamation
point I'm not period.
Anything.
He got the exclamation point.
Okay.
So he is excited.
That's it. Yeah.
He is excited to come in here. Because that does matter, AR. When you get an emoji or an exclamation point or a smiley face or something
You want to read into this? I got something for you.
Oh.
So out of the past four texts, three of them have said 1:30 in studio question mark. And I've gotten back, yup. Like YUP.
Okay.
There was one week where I texted him, 1:30 in studio with Rothman and Joshua, and he said yes. Very formal.
Because JP was here.
I don't know.
He felt like he needed to tighten up a little bit.
A little bit.
What I'm thinking is that on the bottom of his phone, we're so lazy now, but the algorithm probably spit out a few different options. Yeah, yup, sure, sounds good. Like, and you can just thumb that, right? Like, if I asked you a question right now, Maddie, if I asked you a question that required a simple answer, you'd get options on your phone. You wouldn't have to type it out.
I think if I were to go type...
Thumbs up.
I think if I were to go type a simple Y into my texting bubble or whatever, it would bring up some of the options you're talking about. I think it would go yes, yeah, or whatever. I use a lot that starts with Y. I think that's kind of how that... So I think you're on it. I think you're on it. But he still had to pick... between yes or yup.
Uh-huh. And when it was Joshua,
yes. He went with yes.
Yes, very formal.
Mm.
When it's, hey, Rothen and Ice, yup.
Yup. Mm. But you're saying there's no exclamation point, though, with the yups.
I want to see.
But there is.
Today, yes.
Okay.
All right, I just texted you, Maddie.
Oh, yeah. What you got?
And I want to see if this, probably the wrong question. I wrote, I texted you, is the show going well so far? And I want to see if your phone gives any options to
that. I'm going to type in Y. And so I have you and yes pop up.
Oh, so it's not giving you anything. You actually have to type something. On my little old school Android over here, I think I'm getting more options than you.
Okay.
Like, I don't have to type anything. Like I said, it said great, sure. Sounds good.
So you're saying without typing in a letter, you get options that pop up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now that we've
handled
that. I just
texted you my response back, by the way.
What is so.
I just saw something that I'd like to bring up.
Oh, do your thing, Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, I'm seeing highlights of the Brewers and White Sox series from this weekend. The same guy caught a home run on Saturday and Sunday in the series. Grown man with a glove.
Party foul.
Okay, we've had this.
Kick him out of the club.
I know this is like a stereotypical sports radio segment, but I was kind of surprised to see that guy who is like kind of losing his hair, but also like wearing a glove to the game. And he's also like deep, like you're a grown man. Like there should be like a challenge of, hey, if the ball gets hit my way, I got to catch it with my bare hands because there are other fans out there who do that.
Is there, so you're looking at it as an age thing, not a... where I'm sitting thing.
I'm in the age camp. I think once you get past 18,
there are fans out there who catch balls barehanded. And so I think that kind of sets the standard of like you're soft if you're bringing a glove.
See, taking out that part of it, what I'm looking at is, don't you have an advantage over the other fans if a ball is hit near you and you're the one wearing the glove?
No, you do.
You can just reach out, backhand one.
How far are you reaching out, though? Because you got to respect everybody's space.
See, now you were the one that said...
Are you reaching into the
that
row
kid,
in front of
that
you?
That grown man went and got that ball that rolled over at that Phillies game. He didn't respect that woman's space, did he?
Well, he was going to get it for his kid, right?
Ball rolled away.
Oh, the Marlins-Phillies game last year.
Was that a...
When Karen rolled up and said, give me that ball.
Because it was right under her feet.
That was the worst part. Well, that's her fault for not having the wherewithal to understand the situation.
All I'm saying, Maddie just said, respect the other fan's space.
She had the high ground, and she still lost.
Let me ask you guys this. Was that some type of historic baseball?
No, I don't think so.
That wasn't anybody's 300th home run or whatever. Okay, I'm curious, AR, how far you're willing to go up and down the aisle with your glove.
I don't want to carry a glove to the game. I'm just saying that once you got it in there, you probably feel like, hey, I'm in a pretty good spot now. I got a glove.
Here's the other thing that I think should be happening as well. If you are a grown-up, male or female, and you catch a baseball at a game, home run, foul ball, whatever it may be.
The crowd chanting, throw it back.
There should be, I think, an automatic trigger in your mind to give that baseball to a kid. Nobody should, I think, be going to a game as a grown-up thinking that I'm going there to keep the baseball if I get one.
But you're
like, I'm looking for the nearest Tommy.
I actually disagree with him.
But I'm going to tell you this.
But I disagree.
Unless there's a lot of money on the line for that baseball.
There you go.
That's it.
Because I just, I don't want to put Maddie on trial here, but some things are triggering in my mind that you always say, like, not only are you not giving the ball back to the player that hit the home run, you're ransoming the ball back. Like, so...
I am.
Oh, what are you requesting in return from the organization?
And it's not a trade. Maddie's not into the signed jersey or the bat.
No, money.
He wants cash. Straight cash.
How much is it worth to you?
Darn right. That's what I want. So, I will add that. Unless it's a historical baseball, if it's a Shohei's whatever, then I will keep that baseball. If not, I think every adult should give a ball to a kid. Mm.
I think if you show up in a group where there are kids, I think you somewhat owe it to the group to give it to one of the kids in the group. If it's just you and your boys, and you know you're all in your mid-20s, mid-30s, whatever, I if there are no kids in the group, mm-hmm. I don't think you owe it to just,
all right, I'm gonna
bring it up to one some stranger.
All right, here's the one thing.
Okay. I mean, if you do, it's a good thing.
You guys,
and I would commend you for it. I just don't think you owe it to the community at the ballpark.
By the way, is I'm sure Denny's been on. He's been gone for a while, right? Is he on hold?
Well, he had somebody call in for him last week.
Yeah, I know. He had a stunt caller.
He really did.
Who isn't bad.
It was good.
But I don't mean to keep him waiting.
Oh, yeah, Danny,
but,
my bad.
Go ahead.
My bad,
but
Danny.
Hang on. But I wanted to say this.
He'll hang to the next segment.
I don't mean to keep him
he'll
waiting.
He'll hang until he's ready.
He'll continue to wait.
He's always here. He's on hold.
He's like Tim Mays, always on hold.
I'm going to put you in this social situation. You young fellas.
I like these.
Remember this for Dokic.
Dokic won't be able to answer it. He's out of the age group. You guys are on a first date.
Ooh.
You take the first date to a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad idea, by the way, for a first date.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot going on.
It's good
no
energy.
Pressure.
I like that.
If you ponied up and bought some decent seats, that's fun. You're not sitting out there in the center field, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of time to talk in between pitches.
And you
get to know each other.
And all of us being ex-athletes, we catch the foul ball.
Okay.
But you guys are saying that guy, to impress the first date.
Of course you give it to a kid.
Hang on. Is he offering it up to her first?
No.
Nope.
Or is he looking around for the nearest kid under the age of 10 and saying, this is going to go a long way for me.
It's the latter. Uh-huh. The latter. You get the brownie points. You take the brownie points and run.
What if he says, what a grab. Here you go. And gives it to her. And now she feels it's like, I got to carry this around for a while now.
I think you would have to go into that game and date knowing that she was a big time baseball fan. If she really liked the sport or that team.
It's a baseball.
Then you give it to her. If she's kind of like, hey, let's just go out. It's a nice vibe. Then I think you give it to the kid.
But if he gives it to the kid,
yeah,
he vaults up the rankings.
It's an automatic win.
He vaults
it's an
up
automatic.
The rankings massively.
I got something for you guys real quick, and I'm sorry, Danny, we love you, but since you brought up a first date at a baseball game, I wanted to ask you guys this. You go to a baseball game, first date, and you get put on the kiss cam. Do you go in for the kiss on the first date? You're on this is the first time you guys are out in public. There's been a couple hugs here and there, but there hasn't been a locking of lips yet. You are on the Jumbotron.
Absolute read and react situation. You are not calling the play here. You are not.
What do you do? What do you do?
You got to read. You got to have good instincts. If you're sensing that she is turning to you and like you, she comes a little bit like in Hitch. Like,
oh man! But if you get rejected. That is tough living.
That's why I'm
man.
Saying you have to be able to read the situation.
Do you just go for the kiss on the cheek?
Play it safe?
No.
That's getting rejected.
No, you're not doing anything.
Yeah, I think you go for it.
You go all in.
You do best. You do your best acting job that you didn't notice it.
They're not doing it in the first inning.
Staring straight ahead. Like, you're like, I don't know what they're yelling about.
Just like look down at your phone and I'm on the Jumbotron.
She might be like, well, he doesn't want to kiss me. What's wrong with me? I don't think there's a good answer here. Let us know in the chat. Tweet at us. What do you do?
Maybe Danny will let us know next.
First date, you're on this kiss cam. Do you pull the trigger? I don't know what you do.
Yes, you do.
You have. No, I don't. I think you're running the risk of, like Maddie says, the rejection would be brutal. And then the other thing is,
I don't think you're getting rejected.
It's an awkward move for her. Like,
yeah,
it's an awkward move.
I don't know if there's a clean play here.
The kiss cam happens in the middle of the game, so it's not like the first inning. So you have some time to get a feel for how the date's going.
But this is the first.
Yeah,
date.
No,
I think
first date, first kiss is not on the kiss cam. That's nuts.
I think rejecting each other on the kiss cam is worse.
No,
than that.
No, I think you can wiggle your way out by saying, "Listen, if we're ever going to have a first kiss, it's not going to be here. It's going to be much." Like, I would be able to talk my way out of it.
Could be a memorable moment, though. That's a great story.
So you're with him.
I think I would go in for the kiss.
Here,
You got to get a welcoming reaction to that.
But you only have a split second. I don't know how much reading you can react to post snap you can do.
If it's a Caden Boozer, I only got a half a second to decide whether I'm going to hold the ball or pass.
If the date's going well, you definitely do it. If the date's going poorly, you definitely don't. If the date's neutral and you're still feeling it out, I still think you do it.
Okay.
I mean,
let us know.
TLC's like climbing into the seat.
Hey, listen.
All right. We'll get a reaction for you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Care Heating and Cooling.
Jude, every innovation we make is a moment we give to children with cancer everywhere. But we can't do it without you.
Learn more at stjude.org.
The Jackets are making a push to the playoffs.
Islanders and Adam Fantilli, one more time, puts it in the net.
Listen to every exciting moment, including an extended pregame show for weekend games. Proud to be your home of the Jackets. The Fan.
Hello, it's
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for today with highs into the lower 70s here this afternoon. As we head into tomorrow, we'll see even warmer temperatures with highs in the upper 70s to near 80. But it will be very windy as winds gust out of the south and west up to 40 miles per hour. And then we are tracking some rain showers likely here by Wednesday with highs in the 60s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fascinating, informative, covered in dog slobber. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
This is one of those things where I believe you got a better chance in talking your way out of it on why you didn't do it versus if it wasn't welcomed, it sets the whole thing on tilt. That's all I'm saying. If you go to a ball game on a first date and you get thrown up on a kiss cam, I think the third choice would be my choice, which is try to read the situation the best you can and let the other person initiate. I don't think you're getting disrespected if you don't do. I don't think that other person's thinking, oh, I wonder why he didn't. Like, I don't know. I just think there's an easier way in talking your way out of it. But
so you're saying you get put up on the Jumbotron and you're just going to directly look at the date and then do what?
You're both going to have the same reaction. You're both going to be like, because there's not a whole lot you can do.
Here's the question. If somebody is taking a girl on a first date to the game, is this already in the back of his mind on the way there?
It wasn't until you even said it. I was even thinking it.
I know, but that's because we weren't in the moment. But if there's a guy out there taking a girl to a Clippers game on a first date this summer, mm-hmm. do you think that's already in his mind on the way there? Of like, if there's or a Blue Jackets game or whatever. Like, if the kiss cam comes up, like I gotta have a decision ready to go.
I don't think a lot of minds would go there going in. I think the only way you're thinking about getting put up on the kiss cam on the Jumbotron is if you're out with somebody you're not supposed to be with.
Oh, so you cold play this thing.
Correct. That, I think, is when it's in your brain going into the game where you're like, I hope that we don't get picked for the kiss cam because I'm not supposed to be with her at this game. I think that's probably when it crosses your mind going into the game.
Okay, so this would have to be a deep dive into like Nationwide Arena and the Jackets and other teams and say, how often are you doing a kiss cam anymore? Like, of your 41 dates a year at a Jackets game, how often are they doing it? Are they still doing it?
I'm sure our boy Mike Todd knows. Yeah. If he's listening, hit us up, Mike.
And then the Clippers, same thing. Like, how often are they really doing it?
Yeah, I don't know. Love is always in the air.
Is Denny on the horn still? The floor is yours.
Let's find out.
I feel like for 2 weeks he's probably been Denny.
You keep calling me Denny.
Oh,
it's Danny.
Okay, so
I've been calling on this show for like 8 months now.
Hang on,
you don't know my name.
We had a Denny in Dublin for years. So sorry, I had a few other things on my mind hosting a radio show.
We had a Dan apologize. In Dublin
well,
one time.
I'm trying to be a great coworker for this radio show as
That's
well.
True.
That's why
and you're the right
waited
price.
On hold for 20 minutes, 22 minutes, maybe even longer. But I appreciate you keeping me on hold. I'm actually happy that The Floor Is Yours is back to Mondays because I don't have to hire as many stand-ins to call in for me when you guys put it to Monday. So I actually appreciate that.
We appreciate you, man.
Thank you. And TLC did hit on it. I think the Kiss Cam, obviously, a CEO and his secretary at the concert, he thought he was going to, you know, go in and do a nice swoop in and got his kiss. And what happened after that? So if you succeed in the kissing cam, it doesn't always work out in your favor. So I think you should, tread lightly.
I'm with you, man. That's my thought. That's my policy.
But
tread lightly.
So where's the scripted material?
I mean, it's not that scripted. I did want to say Wally Pipp is back. I am trying to change history. We benched Lou Gehrig. He's back on the bench. I am here. Wally Pipp is here. But I do have a couple sports things I did want to talk about. First off, Connecticut, Dan Hurley, congratulations for beating the Duke Blue Devils. Haven't seen a choke job like that since Latrell Sprewell choked B.J. Carlissimo, so great job there. Now, I do want to ask you guys, actually, who do you think had the worst morning after? The Boozer Kid, Tiger Woods after he sobered up, or the 400 guys who found out Bonnie Blue was knocked up after the marathon? I'll let you answer. Have a day, boys.
Thanks, Danny. Maddie, you produced the show. How many years did we have Denny call?
He was a regular.
That's all I'm saying.
A regular.
I go back and forth, right? A lot of names, numbers, things.
We had Dan in Dublin.
Kelsey, love him. Best thing to happen to radio in a long time.
And we haven't heard from him since that call.
And he disappeared
on me. How much
did
you pay him for?
Here's the other thing.
Disappeared on me.
I don't have a phone screen over here where old school where they type the name. Maddie would type the name. Oh, yeah. I could always have the cheat sheet right there.
Hey, listen. You could if you pulled it up.
You don't have to explain yourself here. Denny from Delaware, Danny from Dublin.
No, you got it wrong.
Oh, no, I did it wrong on purpose. Oh, okay, they're all right. Kind of just saying, you can mix them up pretty easily. So, no, you're good. You're good. Shout out to Danny, though. We love you.
All right, so we'll have the poll answered later on the show. Listen, first of all, we'll get to Tiger in a little bit.
His last option is tough, though, with what he mentioned.
You guys, give me some details.
I don't know if I can even do that on the air.
Yeah.
If you were one of those guys, you know, there's a little shaking of the room emotionally, you know, dealing with that scenario and the what if.
Zoran tweeted in and said, you got to go for it, Maddie. Great show, guys.
I think you got to go in, AR, because I think some may respect that, you know, they may look at you and say, he's got some you know what. I like that. You know, maybe if it's the other way, you may have to be concerned about you being a little too passive.
It's from my boy, Sean, SK. I took my daughter to a CBJ game, and we ran into one of her friends and mom. We had better seats and some open seats, so they sat with us. And I will tell you that it did cross my mind if the kiss cam came to me and all I did was laugh. Well, you both could have a laugh. Like, that's the thing.
This is the Phil and Gloria thing.
Both could have had a laugh. They both would have had, right?
Oh, at that point. Absolutely. Yes. So it did cross his mind because, yeah, then it's like, what do I do?
If they nothing. Do put us what on do the kiss cam,
she
do
doesn't anything. Do anything.
Well, I know that, but I'm still like that question pops up. Like, what do we do?
unless she was now a single mom.
Do you know that
she was hoping?
Everybody cheats.
That's right. Oh my goodness!
Everybody cheats.
Yeah, I mean,
why
Maddie
do I
said
sound
it.
Like I have an accent saying that. Like everybody cheats. Yeah. Everybody.
That's an accent.
ERR.
I don't know.
Or is that just
slang?
Slang. Yeah.
Slang. Everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Hey, by the way, now that we're talking baseball for a minute here, okay. How did the Dinger draft do in the first week? Where are the standings?
I think I'm on top.
Because Judge hit a couple.
I think
he is.
So Aaron Judge is the only one who has hit multiple home runs so far. That I can confirm to you.
I got robbed by one. Yordan Alvarez.
He hit one.
And another one, I think, hit off the roof.
the ceiling was the roof down there. He used to rod me at one down there in H-Town.
So that was a foul ball, though, right?
I think so.
Yes.
But it would have been a home run, I think, based off of what I was seeing.
So the actual home run leader is Chase DeLauder. Shout out to him for the series that he just put together. Yeah. We did not draft him because we were not familiar with his game. So the top draft pick, I think Aaron Judge
was
the
number. Where do we stand, though, in the standings? I thought you had this all charted out.
You can't tell. He's going to talk his way through this to get to.
I thought you said.
I'm counting one by one.
Oh, no. We don't have to do
Aaron,
that.
Aaron Judge has two. That's points for who?
Maddie.
Okay, there you go.
The Iceman cometh.
Yeah, but he also has Jordan. He hit one.
Jordan hit one. I believe you have one from one Kyle Schwarber.
And Suarez.
And a Eugenio Suarez. So there you go. It's 2-2 to 0.
No, he's got
that
three.
Got three big, though. Judge hit two.
Maddie's got three.
Who's the third one? Oh, Jordan.
No, Judge hit two.
Yeah. But he's the third.
Why don't we try this again later?
Okay.
I thought we were all set on this. I thought it was going to be a quick update.
I didn't have my spreadsheet ready.
I thought you did. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Well, by the way, you know what that means?
Yeah.
That means that after 1 week, we are the exact opposite order of what J-Lew thought we'd finish.
Yes.
It was
he
him
had me
first,
in the basement.
Me second. You
me in
third,
the basement.
And you're first. I'm right in the middle.
And like you said, AR, for this thing,
just don't lose.
Just don't be last.
Well,
don't be last. Don't be last.
I'm bringing up the rear right now.
Well, we think.
You don't even
We're
know.
Not even sure.
You haven't even done the official.
No, maybe some of your guys have it.
No. I've been checking every single day for my team. I know I have zero. So Kurtz, okay. Pasquantino, Shohei, and Co. As I forget the other two members of my team, Matt Olson.
Otani. He's heard of him.
Yeah. He said Shohei.
Oh, it did. My
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
Junior Caminero. If either of those five could get off the schneid, thank you. It's 3-1 to 0.
All right. The first week, Maddie feels good.
Hell yeah.
We come back in 2 minutes with our friend Adam King, 10TV. I'm sure he can weigh in on this poll.
The Kiss Cam?
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like he'll have an answer or may have experienced this at some point. Rothman.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Like Yoda, Rothman will limp onto the golf course, talk about how stiff his back is, wonder how he can even make it through a hole, and then proceed to kick your ass. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, Adam King, 10TV, saunters in. Good to see you, my man.
Got a little coffee over here.
Okay.
You know, it's that beautiful smell of coffee on a Monday morning. That's what you need.
I feel like you're probably the guy, and this isn't a slam, but you'd be probably the guy that said, you know what? The coffee cups or the K-cups here at the 10TV are just not at my standard. I'm going to bring in my own, like, Starbucks K-cup.
So, you know what?
And I'm just guessing.
Let me tell you this. Earlier this year, I guess it was last year now, we went to Washington.
I think it's pronounced Washington.
Washington, Seattle, the home of the original Starbucks. And so I waited in line for 30 minutes to go in and see this original Starbucks because it is the equivalent of getting a tour of the Capitol building for coffee lovers. And so, you know, it's like a historical spot. And walk in there and they're like, hey, we sell the beans that you can only get here. Like, okay, well, I don't have a bean like crusher, so I don't know what I'm going
to do. Grinder,
as they... You know that a lot about that?
Don't deflect.
No, okay. You take the beans and you grind them up. Took me about 3 months to find somebody who had a grinder other than Matty Ice. And so with that, grinding them up, and guess what? Tastes like every other cup of coffee I've ever had. Coffee all tastes the same. Where people, except for like when you get coffee at a store. Mm. Like, but otherwise,
I've heard people that swear by certain coffee in certain markets. And no, I've had people say, you know what? Buddy of mine loves White Castle coffee. Just loves it. Loves it. Says it's the best in the city. And I've had people say that, like,
my dad says that White Castle coffee was the best.
You know what that's like? It's like when people will say, I'm only going to McDonald's for their Diet Coke or their Sprite. Yeah. There's something different about a soda pop from a McDonald's. I don't know why I said soda pop.
It's either one of the two.
What are you, 85 years
Maddie,
old?
I don't know why I said that. Just put to rest every poll that's ever been done on whether it's soda or pop. You're like, just keep them together and we're good.
Just combine the two.
It used to, back in the day, Rothman, you were
Thank you.
Yeah, you were there. It was called Soda Pop, wasn't it?
I thought it was just soda.
No, it just depends on, I assume, yeah, maybe way back, but I assume that it's just parts of the country that referred to it differently.
When I moved Ohio from Maryland, it was a shock to the system that everyone here called it pop because it was just soda for me.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Going back for a second.
Sure.
Are you a big coffee guy? Because when I said that I didn't, like, it doesn't taste the same, you, like, perked up. Like, do you actually have, like, a grinder at home where you can grind the beans?
No, I don't drink coffee at all.
Oh, well, then you seemed very, that was like a very
at all.
Distinct reaction.
I don't even remember my reaction, honestly.
You were like, whoa, let me be clear. I don't drink coffee, but you're wrong.
Here, you want to know the poll question of the day?
Yes, is this the what station. You were debating?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what this is.
If you go on a first date, you take a first date to a baseball game. First date.
Okay.
And you get thrown up on the kiss cam at some point during the game.
Okay.
What is the move?
Well, you got to kiss her.
Okay. Okay. You,
what is your move?
Well, you read and react.
Like, or you can go the funny guy route. Like if you've got, you know, the one thing that people have done really good is like the beer. If you have a beer, you know, you kiss the beer. Like you just you could play it off. There's some alternates there.
Okay.
I think that could get dicey though.
But see, the problem is then she's
you're
like
sending a message.
Why didn't you kiss
Correct.
Me? Yeah.
That, I mean, you're sending a message.
What is your answer?
If you're sensing that she is welcome, it's a read and react situation.
Well, yeah. If it's awkward, of course, it's a read and react. Yes, you gotta.
Well, you say just don't worry about her.
Well,
go right in.
No, you got to make sure everybody involved is.
I don't know how much time you have.
Yeah, the hesitation might.
To read and react.
Boy, okay. You know, this was a very cut and dry thing, but now that you put it this way, this
layers
gets dicey.
To this.
This gets
layers
nice.
Very awkward.
Because you certainly don't want to be the guy that ends up viral because he got rejected on the kiss cam.
That's right. Do you?
Why?
Oh, the sympathy votes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now you opened up the whole pool.
Wow.
Or do you?
Wow.
This ends up on Twitter, on McAfee Show, or whatever.
Wow.
You get some sympathy votes.
So, a little...
Those DMs popping after that.
Wow, remember? That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's a correct answer there. I think that is the worst case scenario.
Think about this. Like, you would think that a first kiss, you'd want it to be memorable if it's someone you eventually want to be with. I mean, I guess if it turns out it was at the ball game, it's okay. But I think you can talk your way out of, hey, when and if we have a first kiss, I don't want it to be on a kiss cam.
Who's coming up with these questions? Because here's the overarching question. You asked this question.
Yeah, I did.
Here's the overarching thing.
Yeah.
What are you doing taking a first date to a baseball game?
What's wrong with that?
We both thought it was actually a good move.
It's a good time.
What?
Good energy.
It's casual. First of all, that is, you are locked
what?
In.
Wow.
You did kind of drop your what was kind of mirroring
I think
that
it's,
time
I mean,
one right there.
Then you give us the ideal first date, sir.
The ideal first date, we'll make it full circle. You go to a coffee shop. You go to a...
No, that's not even a date.
You go
date.
To dinner. You go to dinner.
That's a coffee shop.
You
wake
over there, Matty.
Both parties to kind of feel like they don't have to commit, right. And it's just a casual...
Coffee shop?
Everybody's got somewhere else to be.
Okay, so then we're going to dinner. We're going to a nice dinner, a dinner that is out of your price range that you can only afford once. But you got to make that impression, you know? So you're taking Butcher and Rose. You're pulling up to Butcher and Rose. They say, hey,
your price range?
Do you want a valet or a park? And you throw the keys at him. You say,
yeah,
we're valet and big guy. And then
and you look at her advertising, though.
And you look at her and say, don't get used to this.
Yeah. And then that's... And then you kiss her on that date, and then you say, hey, by the way, you want to go to a baseball game? That sounds more fun. And then you're okay. Golden. Or,
and then it's Culver's for date number two.
That's right.
I did not
Culver's
think it was.
Great.
I did yes, not it think it was the worst thing ever.
The concrete mix
the baseball
is a fire.
Game. You
I'm
can
with
talk.
You, AR.
You're sitting. It's
correct.
Casual.
There's action
you're,
happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't have to fill every last
correct
dead air second.
I solved it. You just sit down and you know. And listen, I'm a very charming man. I believe I sit down and say, hey. If we're on the kiss cam, what do you think? And then you wink, and then that's it.
So you headed off at the pass,
yeah.
Like before it even could happen.
Yeah, or like right when the kiss cam pops up, you're like, hey, what if it...
He's probably the guy, Maddie, that greased the booth up there and said, hey, I'm sitting in row eight.
Here's
$100, yeah. Put us on the kiss cam. I want to see how she reacts.
Now, I think you got to say like, uh-oh, the kiss cam, and you get their vibe, and if they're like, It's no. Then you just duck so they can't get you on the camera.
Adam King, you also look like a man that would wear a baseball glove to a baseball game. Am I reading that correctly?
No.
Okay.
No,
so
no.
Your bare hands. Yeah.
If you can't
fumble.
Catch it with it, listen, I'm not 12. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm also the guy that you want to know the most Adam King thing you're listening right now. I'm the guy that would catch a baseball and I would give it to the 6 year old next to me only because I know the camera's on me.
You're good. I'll take back my dap. I was dapping up Adam King as he was saying that. Now I got to take it back.
Because I know that camera's locked in, and that's 6 year old, and I'm like, all right, here we go, big guy. And then the camera looks away. I'm like, give me that ball back. Give me that.
Especially if you're on a date.
That's right.
What are you doing with a baseball, though? Like, why would you need to
get it? Yeah, I don't need it. I give it to a kid. Exactly. I just take the pride in that.
Well, can't you make the argument? What's the kid going to do with it?
I don't know. No, that's you put kid. That on they your dresser, and they're like, hey, this is from my first MLB game.
They'll probably play with it.
Kid's
going to
go play catch with it, right?
Yeah.
I can go play catch in the yard. I just need
someone. But this is a real Major League Baseball that
he got. Another adult who doesn't have a job.
Boy, there's a lot of people out there that play catch that have jobs. Is that? I don't think those are mutually exclusive there, Cole.
Name one.
Oh, you want to have a catch?
You want to have a catch.
All right. By the way, yeah, I never liked that line, have a catch. Let's play catch.
Let's play catch.
Yeah.
And you know,
who's saying I want to have a catch? You want to have
Field of Dreams?
My
New Yorkers.
Oh,
Field
you
of
work
Dreams.
With this man?
Field of Dreams.
That's...
Yeah. Hey, Dad. Want to have a
fine.
Catch?
Field of Dreams?
It's fine.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's iconic. It's iconic.
It is.
Also, Maddie, did you see that they postponed a baseball game, Arizona State postponed a baseball game due to bees? There were bees on the field?
No, I did not see
When
that.
You hear that, what movie comes to mind? There's one movie. Bees everywhere.
The Bee Movie.
Zombie Boy?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Okay. That wasn't a baseball game, though.
Cole said
Bee. I thought when you said it, I thought you were referring to what baseball movie.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No. Then Cole,
I mean, I got
Cole,
it. But.
Cole said Bee Move Me. So that Bee Movie really fits. That. Maddie didn't respond. You got it. And Cole said Bee Movie. That was a great advertisement for what this show really is.
In a nutshell, we got it. All right, so we had a departure at Ohio State in basketball. This one, I don't know where this is on the surprise meter, but I think it leaned a little more towards surprise based on what we thought was the priority about retention. But this could be part of the master plan. We'll talk about it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
Get ego.
His many friends. He calls none of them by their actual names. Let's see, there's Weiss and Bake. And we can't forget about The Blonde. Bootsy, Beamsy, NBC, Buddy Garrity, Lil Mo with a gimpy leg, the list never ends. And then there's First Friday, which really isn't a Friday at all. He's always the first stop on the Paul Feinbaum apology tour. Tom Tabea. Barry frequently calls him Bane. Oh, and there's a lot of conversation about drinky poo. A lot. You should probably listen to it because I'm sure my sales pitch makes no sense. Bishop and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The Fan.
What does it mean, Bishop?
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer.
The Beat with Austin and Burn.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows and get four free plus an extra 10% off from windownation.com.
All right, little Buckeye Bulletin. So, I don't know about 20-some-odd hours ago, Devin Royal decides to hit the portal. And I think that in this day and age, unless it's an absolute superstar that's leaving, I think a lot of the fan base is probably like, it's more on the kid, like they feel like, why is he leaving? Well, think about what's going on now with trying to fit a roster together. And it would make sense to me that he'd be one of those guys that you would covet. Local kid, you're invested in him, 3 years in the program. Like, back in the day, it's like, you knew who you had coming back.
Mm-hmm.
This would be such an outlier to see a senior, or a guy that's going to be a senior, leave the program now. And especially with it being his time a little bit, Bruce is leaving, and who's going to kind of be one of the leaders of the team. But you remember what happened this year. As much as they wanted Devin to be a leader, it never really hit. And So I think just because you're a senior doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be able to stay. And I think that's what Ohio State probably told him, and that we probably have a certain amount allocated, but this might be a win-win. He could either go somewhere else and be a one guy or be a really important guy, or and then maybe get more. But with what Ohio State has coming back and has coming in, Maddie, I think the Bynum leap this year affected this dramatically.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. I think in a perfect world, having him back would be ideal to help along a young guy like an Anthony Thompson. Because while it looks like he's going to be a special player, you just never know, right, with freshmen right out of the gate. So maybe not having a world to where he's going to have a whole bunch on his plate would have been great. But obviously, that's not going to be the case. I mean, Devin Royal, when you catch him on the right day, the dude's an absolute buck and getter. But sometimes you watch him and it's just kind of out there floating around, not being the player that he can be. And so I didn't have this on my radar, honestly, that Royal wasn't going to be a part of the equation. I thought that they would be able to hit the ground running next year with obviously Mobley and Royal, and then the young guys coming in and Bynum returning as well. But now they've got a massive hole to fill, because we could say what we want about Devin's game. I mean, that was 13 to 15 a night. And that was a guy that along the way showed that he could be a key contributor to a team that
massive.
I don't know about a massive hole.
Massive?
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, to me,
when you lose a guy that's scoring 14 a night, that's a big hole to fill.
Okay. I just don't think they need another three guy.
Let me,
like, that's the only thing I'm understanding.
I hear what you're saying.
It's not
I'm
a massive
about
hole.
Productivity, though, that's not nothing to lose 14 a night. And if you guys are sitting here telling me that Bynum's going to be that guy, Is he going to be that guy?
I think the guy that it's going to be is not on the roster right now. I think your starting five next year is going to be Bynum, it's going to be Thompson, and it's going to be Mobley.
Who's scoring the 14 a night?
And then it's going to be two guys in the portal.
Who's scoring that 14 a night?
First of all, Thompson's going to fill a major void.
He's not coming here to sit. Right?
No, Thompson is coming here to be.
I hear what you're saying, but think of it. Is the player that's replacing that?
He's in the portal.
We may not know yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Although I don't know. If you go out and get yourself a center who can play with his back to the basket and score inside, then I think you could. Or if Bynum becomes not just a drive to the rack guy, because he's an imposing dude, but you imagine if Bynum can actually play in the post.
I hear what you guys are saying, but there's a lot of ifs there.
Well, so
you knew what you had in him. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the biggest thing. And well, first of all, I like Devin Royal. I think Devin Royal was a good locker room piece. He was perfect for the D-Boer system. I think he just didn't pan out. He didn't reach the ceiling that he was expected to reach. And there were a lot of times this year where Devin Royal caused some frustrating moments for Buckeye basketball. You could argue there were a couple games where Devin Royal, if he plays a little different, Ohio State was never on the bubble. With that,
Virginia.
He
plays at Michigan State.
Yeah. I mean, so if you think of it as a pie, though,
Okay.
You can either have two chunks here, and they're not big chunks, but they're chunks, or you can take that money and you can put it into one big chunk in the transfer portal and say, I'm going to go get a guy. What did Ohio State need last year? They needed an imposing center. They needed a guy that when you went down low, you didn't say, okay, you got to score. I mean,
that's fair, AK, but let me ask you this. Based off of how some of the returns have been with guys coming out of the portal, how confident are you that they're going to find that guy or guys
now? Well, I think that's why they're looking for a GM. The Ohio State basketball wants a GM, and you have to swing and hit this time, and they know it. They have to go out and find. First of all, it's not that hard to find. I mean, it's talent evaluation. Go look at what Michigan did. Go look at what so many programs have done where they've gone and found a guy. I think it's just
they have money.
I know, and now you have a little more money.
A little bit
with Devin Royal not coming back because he's getting a little bit of that pie,
and they might have more money even without him, but I'm with you.
What
he's saying, Maddie, if I read you correctly, is that Ohio State basketball was probably swinging at tier two guys last year in the portal, and now maybe they can play up in tier one a little bit in the portal.
That would be great. Here's where I'm at, though.
Still have to hit.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? And the hit rate right now isn't great, if we're being honest. It's not great right now.
Well,
but it's also not only subtracting him from the equation, it's Bruce as well. And so you're losing two of your top three scores in the same offseason. And now you're telling me that just out of the blue, these guys are going to come from the portal?
Well, no, I mean, Bynum is going to take a major step forward. I mean, we all agree that
he will if he starts to be able to play in the paint like a post player.
Yeah. And Thompson is probably going to be one of the most impactful freshmen we've seen here since D'Angelo Russell. And so,
Matty, they get a tier one veteran point guard and a tier one center. Then I don't think you're going to miss.
No. And the other thing is, you were right about one thing. Last year, Ohio State swung for tier two. And Tilly had his moments, but boy, Tilly had his moments. And it got frustrating at times. But Ohio State, the season before, they went and swung, and they got the big hitter in Bradshaw. And that was about the worst. I mean, that was a strikeout of all strikeouts. I mean, that was strikeout swinging.
And Stewart.
That definitely makes you a little shy for the next year. But you can't be shy this year. You got to go
swing. So are you guys telling me that they're going to be a better basketball team without Devin Royal? Is that what I'm hearing from you guys?
Yes.
Based on... And why will they be? Tell me that.
Based on the cumulative increase of what they get.
We don't know what they're getting, though. So that's why I can't sit here and say that.
I know. Just wait.
Picture-wise.
He's holding my hand, folks.
I love that. You're on the kiss cam now.
Hey, big guy. Just give it a minute. Technically, Devin Royal isn't in the portal. The portal doesn't open until April 7th. So
you're right. You got to wait and see who they fill it with. But I think that while Devin can give you a lot, he just didn't give it consistently, and I don't think he took the leap they really wanted him to make. I also think, like, if they were going to really invest in Devin, they probably weren't that convinced that he could be a leader for them. Like, because when they needed him the most this year, there were times where they couldn't count on him, and that's just being real. I mean, there are other guys. I mean, Mobley's taping up his fingers. He's playing after a surgery. Tilly's warming up on one leg. Like, they probably didn't want to spend the money there. And if they really need, I think they're going shopping for needs. And like I said, if you get a point guard in a center.
Are you shopping for things that you don't need sometimes?
Sometimes. Well, wants and needs are two different things.
Okay. Like, give me an example of when you would go shopping for a want.
A new pair of shoes. I don't necessarily need them.
Oh, but you just, okay, wow.
You just want some.
I guess I don't have AR money.
I don't. That's my fact.
I apologize.
If I'm walking around, Adam, buying a new suit. Here's the difference. If I'm walking around in socks, I need shoes.
That's right.
If I already have shoes and I want another pair, that's the difference.
So let me ask you this, and this is a full circle here, okay? I hope this pans out because I'm really leaning into it. Let me say this.
Because you struck out on the first attempt.
That's right. I did. Real Aaron Bradshaw there. When you want a pair of shoes, you're less likely to spend more money. But if you need a pair of shoes, you're probably going to spend a little more money to go get that best pair of shoes. Right? Right? Right?
No, because it depends. It actually
swing and a miss.
Well, it depends whether for you being on the runway. Yes, you need the highest end. I mean, $200 doesn't buy you a pair of shoes. I mean, you're the best.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you ever heard of Nordstrom Rack? It's the best store in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure they sell shoes for more than $100.
That is accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've bought them on occasion.
It doesn't sound right.
That is accurate.
That is accurate.
It's an interesting deal because I think that this was not what I anticipated. I thought that these guys would feel like they got Ohio State right where they want them. They have to retain them. There's a little momentum in the program, and look at what Ohio State did. They probably didn't want to meet that price.
The other thing, too, I think we could all agree on is that they got to find a way to get more depth on this roster, too. Like, they were really top-heavy last year as far as all the minutes played. They got to find a way to get guys that'll come off the bench and be
contributors. We got to get
ready. Don't you know how much time's on the clock?
Yeah, so we're going to say we got to go to break, but if you get depth, then the pie gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
I don't want to hear about the pie.
Okay, well, the pie is real.
I don't want to hear about the pie.
The pie is real.
Maddie wants to hear about the pie if it's a la mode.
You want an endless pie.
That's right. All right, good to see you, my man. We'll see you over at Nordstrom's.
Sounds good. The Rack.
The Rack.
Okay, yeah. I don't have the Rack, all right?
I'm sure you've strolled through the Big Boy before.
Yeah, they have a coffee shop in there. It's very nice.
We're coming back top of the hour. Miles Garrett is a Brown forever. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
I'm the guy that would catch a baseball, and I would give it to the six-year-old next to me, only because I know the camera's on me.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts.
Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. John Ross. Show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war. Backed by scientific research, Canines for Warriors has transformed the lives of more than 1,000 veterans, helping them reclaim their independence. To find out more, please visit caninesforwarriors.org.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/TSA.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. After a strong freshman campaign, forward Amari Bynum announced he's coming back to Ohio State, where he averaged 9.7 points and 4.9 rebounds last year. Bynum started the last 24 games and helped the Buckeyes to their first NCAA tournament in 4 years. Elsewhere in men's college hoops, after three straight MAC titles at Akron, former OSU assistant John Gross will be the next head coach at Charleston. MLB Reds host the Pirates at 6:40. Guardians visit the defending champion Dodgers at 10:10. Pro Football NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported the Browns withdrew their proposal to allow trading draft picks 5 years in advance rather than three. This comes after Rams head coach Sean McVay indicated it was unlikely to pass at this week's annual league meetings. This update sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's health care.
All right, final hour of the program. Ian Fitzsimmons, 2:30. And we'll get into the brackets with him, too. But I guarantee people turned that game off, thinking that Duke was rolling. I'll watch something else.
Probably.
I'll do something else.
For sure.
And you missed a great comeback. And you missed the shot of the tournament by Braylon Mullins, a freshman for UConn, who never expected to have that ball in his hands at that point, and then realized he had to pull the trigger. He had no time to even probably feel pressure in a way, other than he knew that at that point, with the amount of time is left, well, now I have to shoot it. And nobody was on him. He was too deep for anybody to be on him. And the fact that if he doesn't make it, then we're not talking about what a choke job this is. We're just surviving in advance, and Duke wins another close one. And then, in a way, Duke starts feeling that maybe they're destined, that we were going to hand this game away, and somehow we're still dancing. But now everything's the opposite way. And you and I talked about this a lot in the first hour. This is a good coach in John Shire. He's got to get his team to the finish line, and he's building an awful resume of blown leads. The problem is when you're Duke and you don't lose that many games, they remember the ones you do lose. And he's losing them in such a bad fashion that it's getting to that narrative of, why can't you manage your team and make the proper adjustments? Now, probably not that simple. The other team goes down 19, but you would think if UConn was going to come back and win that game, Maddie, it was because they were shooting 50% from three. They were awful from three. And they found a way to get back in it. Hurley's a hell of a coach. Now, what happened with the ref?
So, oh my God, Dan Hurley, in the most respectful way, is a sicko. And I love these type of coaches and players that are just nuts. And he is one of those guys. So after that play happens, I think a ref was going over to the monitor for something or over to the sideline to do something. Hurley meets him right there at the sideline. It ends up going forehead with this ref.
So it was like a funny, funny moment.
Like he was just so hype and overly emotional in the moment. He goes forehead to forehead with this ref. And I'm glad that the ref just let Hurley have his moment. Because I have to imagine there's some refs out there that get caught up in the moment. Obviously you can't touch a ref or anything like that. And maybe there's a ref or two out there that would have teed him up in the moment. Because I guess by the book, that's what should have happened. And I'm glad that the ref didn't go down that path and let him have a human moment. But Hurley easily could have been the GOAT in a bad way. right? He could have put his team in a bad situation, because if the ref tees him up, then obviously they're going to the line and it's probably ball game there. So Hurley definitely got away with something there.
It's weird. My first reaction to it is that somehow they had a playful moment, that he was going over to either check the clock and Hurley like met him there. And
that's how it hit me too. It was a playful
moment.
His
reaction was weird. But he's probably out of his head at that point. There's a gray area there. Like, if any player did that to a ref, it's then you're in weird. But it was, I guess, time and place. It was just kind of the way he did it. It wasn't anything that he was trying to do other than...
Yeah, he wasn't coming after the ref in any way.
Kind of playfully impeding him for, like, maybe overturning. Like, was there enough time left or whatever?
It was an innocent moment.
I mean, you're right, though. If they follow the letter of the law... And Hurley initiated contact with a ref, and he gets a technical foul there. Duke gets two free throws with Evans going to the line, who's 86%. And now all of a sudden, he
imagine
hits
the
both.
Story today.
Yeah, or he hits one, you're going to OT.
Right.
Doesn't have to hit both.
Did you, speaking of the Hurley family, the reaction from Dan Hurley's mom that's going around? By the way, great job by the camera crew for catching that, because that whole that crowd, who do you lock in on? They lock in on his mom, and they catch his mom saying, holy bleeping bleep. When the shot went in, it was awesome. It was great. The whole moment was cool.
There's no reason to lose that game if you're Duke. The strong on the ball comment just isn't enough detail. I hope he obviously didn't instruct his team that, hey, we do not have to get this ball over the timeline. We just don't. If the Red Sea parts, then let's do it. But if not, you're not passing this ball four times. Inbound, back to the inbound, or center court, try to go front court. Like, you're not trying to break a press. You hold the ball. They have to come to you. There's no way UConn can risk trying to get a five-second call. There's like not enough time left. The only thing they could have done is maybe try to go for a tie up. And that's why I think Duke held their last timeout. For like last emergency, we need a timeout. If we can't even inbound the ball, we're going to need it. So I didn't crush them earlier for that. But once they get the ball in bounds, then it's... They got to come to you. You hit one free throw, then you're going OT at worst. If you make them both, game's over. But UConn had no time to wait. They would have fouled. So here we are. The other thing that happened this weekend, Maddie, is Myles Garrett. And the contract tweak, everyone tried to connect the dots, like if the Browns are redoing his contract, that maybe they're keeping their options open for a potential trade. And we had some teams that were emerging lately. It was Dallas. It was Philly. There may have been another one, Buffalo maybe. And Andrew Berry has put that to rest in a big way.
Myles is a career Brown. He is one of the faces of our organization. I think we've been very clear, both past and present, in terms of our feelings. So I understand all the questions. I'll be honest, I don't really want to waste a ton more breath on it.
Pretty emphatic. He could have danced around it, because they structured his contract in a way that keeps the trade conversation going. And I thought, hey, both things can be true. You can love him and want him, but keep your options open. That's good business. And that's why we were talking about it. And Cleveland, as he said, very adamant about it, that even the restructure, so in his own words, we're not doing it. So now he's kind of painted himself into a corner. I guess he could say if this deal didn't exist when I gave you that comment.
Correct. Yeah. I think, look, and I respect what he's saying. I'm in the camp of, I think they should trade him at this point, because...
To get what?
I think you can mess around and get a couple ones for Myles. I think that's the case. And I think the Raiders were in a headspace where they looked around the facility. They looked around their division and where they are and realized we're not close. And so we have an asset that can help our rebuild and maybe fast track our rebuild a little bit. And they tried to move on from Max Crosby. And obviously that didn't work, because the physical went south, according to Baltimore's side of things. And I think that's what the Browns should be realizing too. And it's easy for me to say, if I'm a player, coach on that team, I'm telling myself to kick rocks for saying this, but I just don't think what they're going to get from Myles while he's there over the last couple of years is going to equate to a whole bunch of winning. And so I just think those draft picks in my mind right now would be more valuable than what Myles is going to bring to the field the next couple of years, to where I still think they're going to be scratching and clawing to be relevant. And so I'd trade him.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, he's a sack machine. Everybody knows it. And rarely do you get to dangle a guy like this out there that you'll get two first and something great also.
Yeah.
And it's emotional, right? Because he's a great legendary player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's still in the back end of his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel like if you could catch a little lightning in a bottle offensively, draft a receiver, maybe the quarterback takes a step in the right direction, that maybe you could find a way to challenge for the division. But if these guys that make the decisions, if Andrew Berry is a guy who feels like he has a long runway to get this thing back to where they want it,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like he does, then I think he would be interested in that. I agree. It's something you definitely look to possibly do. Now, you'd certainly weaken your team a lot, and you'd have to be willing to have those draft picks. You got to hope those work, too. You know, those are just picks. Those aren't.
No doubt.
But he put it to rest, and I don't even know if he had to publicly, probably. But he could still do business if he wanted to.
I also think, too, if they had a name under center that you could sell tickets and he is a needle mover, that this would make this decision easier. From a business side of things, from ownership, he's a guy for us that we can put up on the billboards and people are coming to the stadium to see 95. If they had a quarterback that was an attraction, I think that makes this decision easier from a business side of things, too.
They're the one brand.
Did they not?
What's that?
In 12?
You could argue that. You could argue that. I don't know if we're fully there yet, but I think there's a conversation for sure.
They're lucky in that they're the one brand that they're still going to sell tickets. They just have such a diehard fan base.
Yeah. Browns fans are real ones. They are.
All right. We're going to come back. And this broke right after we got off the air on Friday. And Tiger Woods seems to be in a world of hurt. Is he? We'll discuss next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy.
This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Care Heating and Cooling.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, The Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see mostly cloudy skies here for today with highs into the lower 70s here this afternoon. And then for tomorrow, we'll see more partly cloudy skies, some more sunshine, and even warmer temperatures with highs in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. It will be very windy as winds gust out of the southwest at 40 miles per hour. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
Listen, I think that we're going to talk about this story, and it's probably going to turn out to be results-based. If this was, there are a lot of people that really love Tiger Woods. Legendary athlete, transcends sport, household name everywhere in the world, it seems like. Yeah. Like, he has that.
We throw out the term needle mover a lot. Yeah. At least I do. He's the true definition of one.
Individual sport.
He gets people to come to the TV screen to watch that don't care about golf. To your point. That's what he is.
So I understand that. And even when on Friday, when we broke the fact that he was he signed up to play the U.S. Senior at Scioto. It was a big deal because it was a senior tour. He's turned 50. He's eligible. And if he's going to make his first appearance on that tour in our city at a famed course where the legend Jack Nicklaus learned how to play golf, and the fact that he's won the Memorial, I said five times, and back in Columbus, and how many times he's won at Firestone, and he's had such great success in Ohio, it was a big deal. And then 3 hours later, we're finding out he's in an accident where he rolled his SUV. And I remember texting you guys, like, we all have, thank God, avoided rollover accidents. Doesn't mean you can't drive through an intersection and have somebody blow a red light and T-bone you. Like, that could happen. But everything you heard from the cops, it was like either he was impatient. They thought he was impaired. They still think he's impaired. But he wasn't drunk. He blew triple zeros on the breathalyzer, but they still think that he was impaired. So whether you take a guess, anything, pain kills, medication that made him drowsy, something that altered his ability to drive a vehicle, or even more importantly, make good decisions. Because all I kept thinking about was, okay, he didn't hurt himself, as far as we know. Yeah. Unbelievable. Nobody else was hurt. Unbelievable. The fact that on a 30-mile-an-hour road, he rolled his car and it didn't skid into a pedestrian, someone walking their dog, a child playing. Like, this is horrendous that he would make that kind of decision. And I can't wait till somebody where he puts his mouth in front of a microphone and has to talk his way out of this one. The good news is that this is not a felony. He's not going to jail. But it's another, quote, DUI, even though I don't think they'll be able to prove it because he refused to have the urine test. So the one that I'm thinking is that he's going to get his license revoked, or suspended, rather, for a while. Like, you go all the way back. I mean, we're going way back. The whole crash with the SUV when his wife found him and all that, that was a careless driving one. And then in 2017, he was arrested on DUI in Florida. They found him asleep behind the wheel of a parked vehicle. So he's in command of the vehicle. He pled guilty to reckless driving. And then 5 years ago was the one when you and I were on the air late in the show.
Yeah.
During COVID, that he was supposedly driving too fast for conditions. It was a weird turn. It was out in California. He was leaving a photo shoot to get somewhere.
He was giving lessons or something? Yeah. Wasn't he giving lessons to celebrities or athletes or something at the time?
He was going to an event,
something like that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And that's when he shattered his right leg and his ankle. And it changed the whole course of any possible real comeback.
Yeah.
And then Friday, he rolls his vehicle. So I know he gets a little bit of a pass because he's so famous and so many people like him and love him and love what he's meant to sport and love watching him play, and they feel sympathy. They want him to not be hurt, and I get that. But this is just, you're 50. Grow up. Mature. Find a way to not be impatient or impaired behind the wheel, even worse. And I can't prove it, and they won't be able to either. But if he was gunning it past this guy's pickup and caught the rear left of his bumper and it rolled his vehicle?
Scary stuff, man.
That means how fast could he have been going?
Yeah, that's scary stuff to say the least. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate when you see people, whether they're celebrities or not be able to get out of their own way when it comes to repeating the same mistakes. And so now we got a track record here with Tiger with this stuff. And it's unfortunate because he is such a beloved figure, but he's also a grown man. And like you're saying, get to a certain point where you got to just be able to level up mentally and realize that, hey, I shouldn't be doing certain things, but I've also learned to. That age is just a number with some people. Doesn't matter how young, older you are. The older you get, sometimes that doesn't mean the wiser that you get. And so for Tiger and for certain people, sometimes you just have to hit rock bottom for it to really shake the room. For him, he's been close to that a couple times now, and it just doesn't seem like he can get right. And so, yeah, to say it's unfortunate and all that is just, that's not, just doesn't sell it enough.
Yeah.
This is a guy now that just really needs to wrap his mind around what the heck he's doing in life and realizing that there are a lot of people that are counting on him. There's a lot of people that look up to him. And when you make these kind of mistakes, there's going to be maybe some of those people that start to go the other way with supporting you when you keep putting yourself in harm's way. And like you said, potentially others as well. So he's very lucky in that space.
Yeah, this isn't the infidelity and all that. That's, I'm not going to, we don't have to get into that part of it. That's a whole different than this, than making really good decisions behind the wheel on a 30-mile-an-hour road with double yellow, no passing, and and supposedly they feel like you were impaired. Like, this wasn't just a bad decision. Anyone can make a bad decision because no one can forecast the future on what might happen. And if you wanted to pass this vehicle, we've all done it. You get a little impatient.
No doubt.
But if he was impaired, which, and he had really no right to be controlling a vehicle. And this is a guy who, as you say, like 5 years ago, you had the ultimate wake-up call. Mm-hmm. You almost killed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this not long ago with Myles Garrett. And he still drives like a maniac, apparently.
I think you get to a level, and I don't know. This is just a guess. But I think you can get to a certain level, and you just have so much power. And you've had it for years and years, the way guys, some of these guys do, and gals do, that you just feel like, I can do anything I want when I want. And no matter the result, no matter what happens, I'll be able to get out of it because I'm Celebrity X. And that's sad to say, but I'm not going to be surprised if that's how some of these people are wired at this point in their careers.
Does it matter, Maddie, whether or not, like, if he really did a sit-down tell-all interview about, okay, what's going on? Like, what is going on for you? I have no problem with him wanting to drive. I know people, oh, you got all the money, more money than God, get a driver. Okay. These guys, they like driving. Mm-hmm. I like driving. People like driving. He can afford any vehicle he wants, and it's kind of cool, right? Nobody wants to, maybe some people do want to be driven around, but you're right. Maybe a control thing. But I wonder if he did like a sit-down, like, because I think what people want to know is, because I think they have a lot of sympathy for what's gone on with his body and the injuries. Mm-hmm. Now, some of them are brought on by himself. But, like, is there a difference between whether he over-medicated on painkillers or whether he was on something illicit? Like, I think there is a little bit of a difference, for people thinking, man, this guy probably wakes up every day and cannot get rid of the pain. Now, I'm not excusing that,
sure,
of course.
Sure.
He shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car if he's on those kinds of meds, but
I think the volume gets turned down from the court of public opinion if that is his reasoning. That's just my guess.
Yeah.
More of the sympathy will come in to play here because we've literally seen with our own eyes him not be able to walk up and down a fairway without using a 3-wood for a crutch or something like that. You know? So I think to answer your question, that some people will back off just a little bit if that's what he wants to roll out there as his reasoning.
Listen, the great news is he crawled out. No one's talking about him having to go to the hospital. No one's talking about another driver or pedestrian or anybody else.
Yeah.
But that was in, and I don't know exactly where it is, but I've seen the pictures. It was a double yellow, 30 mile an hour, they supposedly said. And how far the SUV skid and the marks that were on the street, they thought he was going at a really high, or he gunned it right as he saw a guy slowing down or wanting to turn. And, and here we go. And anyone can make a stupid decision, but if he's on something while he's driving, zero excuse, zero sympathy. All right, we'll come back with our friend Ian Fitzsimmons and hit brackets with him and the coach that pulled it off. He is a one in a million type of guy. Rothman.com.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Truth of the matter is, you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
All right, he's our man. He's Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN sideline and more. All right, you get to play for one coach in college basketball right now. Are you choosing Dan Hurley?
Yeah, I would. That's an interesting question because I think UConn has now become more hated than Duke. And think about that, folks. I mean, you know, in large part, it's Dan Hurley and not just confidence, but his arrogance. And he coaches those kids hard, and they love every bit of it. You know, I remember watching an interview with him last year when they didn't make it to the Final Four. They're only one in the last 4 years. And he said, we have to do a better job of scouting the parents going forward. And I thought that was interesting. Then the follow-up was like, what do you mean scouting the parents? He goes, I got to make sure that they've raised their kid in a form that they can handle the way we coach here at UConn. Meaning they're going to coach you hard, and you have to want every single bit of it. And that's some, go back to when Frank Martin, former head coach of South Kakalaki in Kansas State, right? When he made a Final Four run and he was asked about his coaching style. Remember, I mean, that dude was red faced and in his players' faces nonstop and he's catching hell in the national media. And he made the comment, it's not the players today that can't take it. It's the way the players today were raised by their candy bleeping parents. And that is spot on, man. I mean, we're living in a day and age for the last decade or so where we're giving out participation medals, you know, and this and that just for competing in a swim meet. I think I've told you guys that story about my younger daughter, Marin, when she was on a swim team like 10 years ago and whomever was supposed to do the breaststroke didn't show up. So Marin does it, finishes second to last, and they gave her this little medal. And she goes, what do I get this for? I said, well, you tried hard. Because I finished second to last and gave the medal back. I've never been more proud of one of my kids than in that moment right there.
Lupus, you can take this trophy and your apology.
Yeah,
and
stick it. Right? It was awesome. I've never been more proud of my life, man. I'm telling you, Dan Hurley coaches those kids so hard. And they want every bit of it and then some. That's why I would go coach for him because I needed to be coached hard. I was lazy as hell. And if I didn't have discipline and somebody putting a boot up my butt, I wasn't going
to
do it.
I hear you. I absolutely hear you. I want to zoom out from the tourney and get your reaction to what Andrew Berry had to say about Myles Garrett, Fitzy, because I'm in the camp of, I believe, with where the Browns are right now, that they should trade Myles Garrett because I don't think they're that close, right? And he's going to be on the back nine of his career here over the next few seasons. Where are you at with Andrew Berry and him coming out and saying Myles is a career Brown? I hear that, and I respect it, but I would trade him, Fitzy. What would you do?
I'm going to say the same thing that I said about with the Raiders and Max Crosby. And I did like Barry's last comment there, right, to Mary Kay Cabot, who that woman can put some words together, and she knows some football, man. But when he said, and I think we should stop wasting air with the Myles Garrett conversation, I'm like, oh, man, that was a good one. I enjoyed it. But I said this, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. You can either lose with him or get better and lose without him. Meaning you get better in the long term, but in the short term, you're still going to lose, but you can acquire a heck of a lot of value for him. I said the same thing with Max Crosby. They dealt him. They got the haul, meaning the Baltimore Ravens, and then obviously the medicals didn't pan out. That is the exact same thing in Cleveland. You can lose with Myles Garrett or go get a haul for him because he still does have 3 or 4 elite years left. But to your point, he is on the back nine. I would deal him also.
Yeah, we've come to the same
thing now, by the way.
Yeah.
I would be dropping that right now. Hey, bidding war is open. Who wants the NFL's all-time sack leader? Go.
I'm with you, and maybe you're right. I mean, this is pretty emphatic, him saying that we're wasting our time talking about it. He's really painting himself into a corner, maybe he doesn't care. But yeah, if Dallas or the Philly or the Bills or somebody came to him and said, all right, name your price, we'll give you 3 firsts or something. He's not going to turn that. I wouldn't think he'd turn that down. I guess he could.
I hope not.
Yeah, I guess he could say, hey, that deal didn't exist when I made that comment. But, and Myles has been.
Another part.
What's that?
AR, here's another part also. What time of year is this and what's going on right now?
Nothing.
NFL owners meetings.
Yeah.
We're 24 days away from the NFL draft. Hey, look, when we get to SEC and Big Ten, you know, and Big 12 and ACC media days, we call it talking season. Steve Spurrier coined that 30 years ago. Well, you know what this is in the NFL? Lion season. So, I mean, Andrew Berry can say it, right? But that doesn't mean he means it, but he's going to say it. I'd be saying the other thing. I'd be like, look, make me an offer. I'll listen to anything. I might hang up on you. But you always listen to every offer. That, I truly believe, is at his core, and that's what I would be doing if I'm any GM for any player out there. I might hang up on your butt, but I'm going to listen.
I don't think we've had you on since Dan Orlovsky kind of took over the draft world conversation last week where he came out and said, I'm a Simpson guy over Mendoza. And then he kind of threw out there, Fitzy, hey, I've been reaching out to GMs and decision makers around the league, and there's people that agree with me. What are you hearing about this now Ty Simpson-Mendoza thing? I don't even think it's a thing, but I guess it's become a talking. Not. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's not. I'm with you, man. I'm at it. This is one where Mendoza's going number one overall. Now, could Ty Simpson end up being a better quarterback, as you know, depending on where he ends up and the talent or lack thereof that he has around him? Absolutely, he could. But every NFL GM I've talked to and every NFL scout, I've talked to the same four, as you guys know, before every single game. And we had Indiana three times last year. And the comp I got every single time, and it was damn near unanimous, was Joe Burrow. Now, you're going to pass on a guy whose comp for NFL scouts and two GMs is Joe Burrow? I'm not. And that's Mendoza. What is Ty Simpson? I don't know yet. He's only started 15 games. If I'm Ty, I would want to sit and watch and learn the speed of the game and what it truly takes to be a winning NFL quarterback. Because he doesn't have nearly the game experience that Mendoza does. I think Mendoza's going number one overall. It's a slam dunk. Mark it down. It's over. Simpson, I think he'd be 16 to the Jets, somewhere in the mid-20s. But I don't think it's even a conversation as to who is a higher draft pick and who will have a better or more successful career. I do believe it will be Mendoza, but it all depends also on the teams they end up on and what they have around them. I mean, look at Sam Darnold. He's the ultimate example, right? But the Jets, they stunk. You go to the Vikings, oh, we have talent. You go to Seattle, hello, here's a Lombardi. There you go.
Ian Fitzsimmons with us every Monday at this time. Is there a receiver that you like over the rest, or can you maybe can't go wrong with either Tyson or Tate or
it's
Lemon?
Carnell Tate, and I know where I'm on, and I'm not playing up to you at all. But Carnell Tate just has a whip your ass mentality. I mean, you need him to block downfield, he'll do it. You know, you need him to run a dig, he'll do it. You need him to wham a freaking outside backer, he'll do it. Oh, by the way, you need him to go and catch 50-50 balls and win, he'll do it. Now, everything I just said, Jordan Tyson isn't quite the same physical type player that Tate can be. I know Tate's size every now and then is ripped, and they're saying he doesn't run a 40 very fast. So you know who else didn't run a 40 very fast in a straight line? Puka Nacua. How's that work out for you, right? I mean, I don't care how fast you run your 40, right? Do you have football speed? Are you a football player? Tate, to me, is a damn football player. But this is that is the deepest position, guys. If your NFL team's looking for a wide receiver, one of my guys had 41 draftable grades on wide receivers coming into this draft. Another one had 44 draftable grades on wide receivers. You need one? This is the year, right now.
All right. You're on I take Ian Fitzsimmons, not me personally, but I put you on a first date at a baseball game. And so you're on a first date at a baseball game, and the kiss cam focuses on you and your date. Are you hesitating? Are you going all in? Are you reading and reacting her reaction so you know what to do? Or is this a flat no, I'm going to save the first kiss for something that it really deserves, something more romantic?
It's a first date?
First date. You get stuck
first
on the kiss
date.
Cam.
All right, now, knowing my wife and how that first date went, she'd be making a move. Let's just say it wouldn't be toward my mouth. There you go.
Not sure I read that correctly.
Yeah, you do.
This may need a deeper dive. All right, give me a hint. Are you saying that she...
He's saying the kiss is a lock. Like a kiss.
All I'm saying,
it's a lock.
Have you ever bobbed for apples?
Okay. All right. This is... All right, done.
Done and done.
Question answered. Run that card to the podium. No reason to use the 10 minutes. She ran the card
we're
right
not
to
pulling
the
a Jerry Jones and leaving the logo on the screen. I mean, hey, we're getting ready to react. Chat, please. We gone.
You're the man. All right, brother. Great stuff as always.
You asked the question. Yeah. I just answered.
No,
it.
Absolutely. You answered, man. There was no hesitation. Well done. Oh, he's living the life we're all dreaming about. All right, that's our friend Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN. He was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We come back with Tell the Truth.
But before
after this,
we got a goodie to give away, because we're giving away Aviator tickets right now to the game on Friday night, TLC. Do I have that correct?
I believe.
Okay, there you go. 614-821-9710.
Yes,
is hotline, I believe.
I don't know
sure,
if that
whatever.
Was a confirmation.
614-821-9710 is TLC's hotline number. Earlier in the program, We do Party Like a Rockstar on Mondays. AR had a coach in his list of candidates in Party Like a Rockstar. Who was said coach? You get that right, you'll get the tickets to the Aviator game coming up soon.
Friday. Right?
Yes.
8 o'clock. DC Defenders.
When you get back from the cruise.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that next. Tell the truth also. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Low testosterone.
Catch all the buzzer beaters, upsets, bracket busters, and more at the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. It's the greatest month of the year.
Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
I'm Leslie.
Teacher or coach, do you ever feel overwhelmed supporting kids' mental health?
Teachers need tons of help.
I had never experienced players being so down that they can't even participate.
It's so important that we are constantly educating ourselves.
It's the same as the CPR class to me. We're trying to save a life here.
The Kids Mental Health Foundation has free tools and information developed by experts. Scan the QR code or check out kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org to get started.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yingling drafts for only $4. Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, tell the truth, you boys. If Tiger...
Trevor in Delaware, by the way.
Oh, Trevor and Delaware.
That's right.
Good
Shout
job
out to you, Trevor.
Trev knew that Torts was in Party Like a Rockstar today, so good job. You're getting the Aviator tickets.
Yeah, have fun, Trevor. Yeah, absolutely.
Friday night.
Yeah. 8 o'clock.
You can take the cruise ship all the way up to the stadium.
Wearing your Aviators. All right, so is Tiger Woods... When are people going to... Can he do anything that would make people be unsympathetic for him? Because I feel like it's still the... And don't get me wrong. We all admire his legendary status as an athlete, as a golfer. We get that.
For sure.
But it's almost like if he was a football player, he'd be getting crushed right now. Or some coach, he'd be getting crushed right now. Some guy on that the cops believe is impaired, rolling his SUV on a 30-mile-an-hour road. He just got done, you know, coming back to play in the indoor golf league, and he was all ready to kind of maybe start this march to Augusta, maybe. Like,
I think there's a thing that happens to where when people get in some sticky stuff and you like them and who they are as a person, and I'm speaking for everybody, and I shouldn't be doing that, but I just guess I'm going to roll with this, is that you're willing to give them a little bit more grace.
Real quickly, Maddie, I was watching the sheriff's press conference with a Tiger fan, and he was, like, getting on the sheriff while we were watching. Like,
for what?
Well, that seems a little personal, or that seems a little, like, opinionated. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. That's how it's hitting you?
I think when there's that level of emotion in people... You'll get that. If it's someone that they don't respect, that they don't like who they are, whether it's this reason or that reason, those people don't get as much grace. And I think people like Tiger. They like who he is. They love his representation and all of those things. And so when he continues to go down this road, the criticism maybe isn't going to be as harsh as it would be for somebody. Let's say if it was, I don't know, Brooks Koepka, AR. He ruffles feathers around the golf world. Would he get this type of grace? No. Probably not, because people don't like him as much. I don't know. That's my take.
I think that people, sports fans, kind of associate athletes with their own memories. And so I think a lot of people have positive memories of watching Tiger Woods play golf, which is why, in a weird way, they give him more grace than they'd be willing to give a player who wasn't as good on the field.
Yeah.
And so... That's just one way about it. Although I do agree with your point that, and I don't know if I can explain this one, but I understand that it's true, that if it were a football player, it would be viewed a little bit differently. And I think that may reveal how people view football players And just like athletes in general, maybe?
I think because I hear what you're saying, but I think we have to get into a conversation of which football player, too. Right? You know what I mean? Like, if this is, I don't know, if this is Calvin Austin for your Steelers, it's not hitting the same if it's DK Metcalf. You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
Maybe it's like the violence of the sport kind of... I don't know. Or maybe just...
I like where you're going with that.
But there's also something, too, just like the popularity of football. I think people, and maybe I'm projecting my own thoughts that I've had before, but there may be like a cynicism that deep down, like with football being like the sport in America, that these guys are all like arrogant jerks and they think they're above the law. Mm-hmm. And like, for example, like popularity basically does not exist in college. Like, no one cares what you were like in high school and what you were like. Everyone's just doing their own thing. The only popularity that exists is, are you a football player or not? Like, that is, like, the status at Ohio State is, like, everyone's just a regular-ass student unless you're a football player, and then everyone knows who you are. And, like, so I think there is a cynicism that football players do kind of, like, act a certain way, or they carry themselves a certain way in a way mm-hmm. that, like, that stigma isn't applied to golf, if that makes sense. But it seemed like you liked an earlier point that I said better than what I just said.
So talk about that.
If you remember, because I just threw a lot at you.
We can do more of it tomorrow. It's an ongoing, ongoing deal. No, I respect the fact that it is difficult to talk about, that there is not really a cut and dried response, because most people, unless you just never liked him, period, or thought he was too arrogant or too whatever and just didn't like I think people mm-hmm. have turned. He's become a little bit of a sympathetic figure,
mm-hmm.
The way he kind of turned his life upside down, even though he did it to himself. And the fact that his son seems very well adjusted. His daughter is too. His son's going to go play golf at Florida State. Like, they get to play in father-son stuff. Like, you kind of root for that. I remember when he had the accident in California 4 or 5 years ago. I remember we were on the air, and somebody asked us, you think he'll play again? I go, you know what I think he really wants to do? Be able to say he could play golf with his son. That's probably all he really cares about right now. And now, he's an aging legend. They all want to stay relevant. But he's got some serious issues, and I don't know whether it's... It just seems like it's more slanted towards irresponsibility. Like, okay, I'm not in his body. I have no idea the pain he has to kill every day. I have no idea. Just don't get behind the wheel of a car. Like, I got no problem with him trying to get through his day. But if he feels he can do both, and then when he is behind said car, what's going on?
Yeah,
like his decision making even then, even
sure.
if he is slightly impaired, I don't know.
To bring another comp into this, I think that if there is a significant fall from grace that happens to Shedeur Sanders, the noise will be a lot louder than what it would be for another quarterback that's soft-spoken. And so I don't even know if that makes sense in the conversation we're talking about, but I think when somebody has this personality that's loud and can come across as arrogant, if that player
100%
steps in some
when
stuff,
they screw up,
they're not going to get the love and grace that another quarterback would get if he was just say, hey, you know, I just want to be a good teammate type of guy.
But this also does speak to not just how known Tiger Woods is, but how his approval rating was so high. Yeah. Like, Shedeur Sanders has an approval rating right now that is all over the place. So he is very popular in the sense that he's widely known. But is he popular in the sense that he's a high approval rating? Tiger Woods had both.
I think
it's interesting that you brought up the point, AR, about his son, because anything that has to do with his son on social media explodes. Like, here's Tiger's golfing with his son, and I'm like, who cares?
We'll have to talk about this more tomorrow.
I'll wrap it up real quickly in 10 seconds. Hours after his mugshot was released, this latest one.
Yeah.
They were slapping it on T-shirts and getting $125 for it in every size.
That happened with Scotty too, didn't it?
Yeah.
After he got arrested. We got to go. Yeah. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. Jason Stark joins at 5:30. We'll talk to you tomorrow at High Noon. Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tyfus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real.